talked about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Excuse me, I would like to speak first.
I think you just did.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
This is America.
Oh, God, Doc. What is it all about?
F word, MF word, S word, G word, D word, GD word.
Because retarded people can't be doctors.
And now,
yeah, screw you.
Our feature presentation.
You take them out. I love them.
I was just thinking that our podcast listeners, and we have quite a few of those around the world who enjoy the show, have never heard Doc on the Rock. And I was thinking, how could I sign up to be a podcast listener instead?
You actually have to do the show, though.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. Yeah. Doc is our news man. And I kid because I love, of course, Doc is an L.A. news institution. And
sure.
We've been lucky to have him on the show for all these years. And I say that not just because he deserves it, but because he's usually armed. So.
Yes.
There you go.
Armed and willing.
Learn that, yes.
Sure.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Tuesday morning. It's the 9th of April.
Mm-hmm. I was very bummed out. As you know, Kevin, I wasn't able to watch a minute of the game last night because I was at my own game. But I went to the Mariners home opener last night. But I saw when I got home that people were saying it's one of the greatest college basketball championship games in history.
Yeah, it was unbelievable.
Just because it was close or what?
It was close the whole game, but it was also super well played. Both teams were evenly matched.
Mm-hmm.
And Michigan was ahead for a while, and Louisville was just pulling and pulling and pulling, and it was just, I don't know, every time down the floor you go, oh, my God. Oh, my God.
That's
it was. It was really, really about 1 million times more exciting than the Seattle Mariners.
No,
about a million times more.
That was a great game, too. That was a great game,
too. But it's a baseball game.
Can I tell you the number one play on SportsCenter last night was a play from the Seattle Mariners game?
Can I tell you the rest of the game sucked and the entire game could have been number two? It was awesome.
That sounds awesome. Here's the dilemma now. Of course, I set it up to tape before I went out. But can you watch a game if you know who's going to win?
I usually can. It's worth watching because there are a lot of great basketball going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And and just when you think that team just had a run that's unbelievable, the other team turns around and has a run, and it's amazing to watch it. It was so evenly matched. It was great.
Was one shining moment played at the end?
What do you think?
It is the tradition.
Oh, my God. Why do they play that light rock song, that soft rock love music?
Because it is the tradition.
Oh,
look,
traditions
are
not all good, by the way.
Why do they drink milk after they win the, what is it? Is it Kentucky Derby? Is that where they drink the milk?
I didn't know. Someone drinks milk?
Some things, or maybe it's a NASCAR race. I don't remember. Some place they drink milk after a race. But some things people just do, not because they make any sense, but just because they're tradition.
It's the Indy 500. And I'd like to suggest tradition needs to be reviewed every once in a while.
I would agree.
Let's not just stick with it because it's tradition. That song blows, and it's done by a soft rock artist.
Who's dead.
But and that's probably why they use it, because they paid for it a long time ago.
I think CBS can afford a new song.
You know what's funny though, Bean, is that they put announcers and coaches and players talking and yelling and being excited the whole thing.
They build a montage, right?
Right, but they did it over a lot of the lyrics this time because I think they're trying to hide that it's so lame. No, it's lame. And I love a sports montage more than anybody.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's funny. Hey, how are we on
the
time?
Can I? Yeah, you can.
Can I do my story anyway?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'll try to be quick. I've told you in the past that I'm fortunate enough to live in a place with wood in the woods and with streams and a pond, and it's beautiful and idyllic, and I do love it. But around this time every year is when the Pacific Northwest tree frogs arrive. The frogs have been back for about a month, and I've been sleeping in the basement. But here's for folks who have never had the joy of these frogs. They come out, they're 24/7 now, but they're worse at night. And here's what it's like when you walk outside my house. You hear? Now, some people would go, well, that's just peaceful. That's just living in the country, right? That's just a nice ambience. But then more of them start, joining in.
Are they like beatboxing?
Now, could you sleep through this?
No.
I don't know.
No, I would take a shotgun out and kill all frogs.
Wait, here comes some more. And this is the noise that goes on for hours and hours and hours, for weeks and weeks and weeks at a time, okay?
Okay, no, that's too much.
That's too much, right?
Yeah, that's
a lot of frogs.
That's too much.
So I bring that up because this story is in the news about a guy who not only dislikes frogs, he is terrified of frogs. He was living in Italy. He had a terrifying encounter, it is said, with a neighbor. Doesn't give too many details, but this guy ended up chasing the guy while holding frogs in his hands. Why? Again, give me more details. Why was the guy holding frogs? Why was the guy chasing this kid off of, you know, around the neighborhood? I don't know.
The guy chasing had the frogs? Or the guy
had the frogs.
Oh, okay. That's weird.
The guy chasing had frogs. Who chases somebody with a handful of frogs? I don't understand.
He must have thought or known that the person was scared of frogs.
The person wasn't scared of frogs.
What?
This is why the person is scared of frogs.
Okay.
Is because of a nasty encounter as a child with frogs. So, his name is Paul Marinaccio. Well, he grows up, moves to America, and ends up making a pretty good life of himself and buys his 40 acres in upstate New York. And he's living the life and doing great, but still afraid of frogs. But thank God he doesn't have any frogs. Until a nearby construction site ends up flooding his land, making it ripe for frogs.
Sweet.
So, he now has frogs all over his property. Now, that would be an inconvenience, and I can see how you would have some recourse with the courts to say, hey, this construction site that moved in next door, they built an apartment complex or something, they changed my property and flooded it, and now it has frogs, and I don't like it, so pay me. But in his particular case, he's terrified of frogs, so it's so much worse than just an inconvenience.
Right.
He says, you people don't understand. This is what he said in court, testifying. I'm petrified. I go home at night, and I can't get in my garage because of the frogs. They're right in front of the damn door. He calls his grown daughter, who lives a few miles away, two or three nights a week to come over and shoo the frogs away for him. In the winter, it's okay because I know there's no frogs, but in the summertime, I mean, I'm a damn prisoner in my own home.
What are the chances?
He's terrified of frogs. Oh. How much did he get when he won the case?
He did win the case.
$1 million? $1 million. Lisa?
Seems high, right?
$1 million.
That means that was a dumb guess. Shoot.
No, it's not a dumb guess at all.
All right.
I don't think people are going to have a lot of pity for him.
For frog,
I'm
going to
say
boy?
Like a couple hundred thousand.
Couple hundred grand. Beer mug, if you were paying attention, what would you answer? How would you answer this question?
This is a story about frogs.
Yeah, it's, thank you, Lisa. I think it's got to be on the ridiculous level, so I'm gonna go $500 million.
You can always, fire beer mug.
You can always count on beer mug. You can always count on beer mug.
So you weren't listening to the story at all then, right? Because it's just a guy with frogs in his yard, right? You understand the frogs didn't kill him. They didn't rape him.
I thought mine was out of line. Hi.
Kevin was actually the closest. Oh. He got $1.6 million is how much he received. He said, I'm happy to win, but I'm really happy to beat the government is what he said. I don't know how he beats the government. He's sued a construction company. But anyway, that's the story of the guy who's afraid of frogs.
Worth
$1.6 million. It's kind of biblical to have a frog plague come to your front door, right?
But do you think they sense that you're afraid of them like pets do, certain pets?
I don't.
They go after
like
him?
The frog is like, yeah, I'm in front of your garage. What?
No, you know? I really don't. I think they just are living their little froggy lives like they are at my house. I don't think they're intentionally trying to ruin my life.
Oh, they're trying to ruin your life. There's no question about that.
I think they're just excited to be someplace that, you know, that has some water that they can hang out and bang like frogs do.
They are just...
Oh, wow, that was a picture I didn't need.
Is that their mating call? Is that what the noise is?
That's exactly what it is.
Man, those are
some
desperate
that I know
frogs.
That, I really can't sleep.
Those are some desperate frogs. Come on, I need some attention over here.
I do wonder at some point, can't you hook up after this? I mean, it's been a week you've been making that noise. Can't you find somebody?
Apparently not. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
You're obviously not afraid that you're boring.
That's correct. Citizen's arrest, we're going to talk.
Oh, I
today.
Love that.
I'm going to take some calls from people if they've made a citizen's arrest, which is, you know, legal. You can arrest somebody. And that's fascinating to me because I would never – it's not like I have to think about it and then go, no, I probably shouldn't. Never enters my mind. You know what?
But I think
not a law enforcer.
But if you were in a situation, Kevin, we'll talk about this later, but if you were in a situation where you came across somebody being mugged, for instance, and you broke it up, like there was a woman getting her purse stolen and you were standing right there and you broke it up, you might sit on the guy and have someone call the police. That's a citizen's arrest.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. That's a tough question. Because I honestly, I don't think it would come to my mind that I'm able to arrest someone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're also going to tell you about Bitcoins. If you're not aware of this, this is the new financial system whereby we...
I'm going to be so rich once I figure out what it is.
Stop using actual money. Hannah Simone will be in the studio.
Oh, she's the best.
Cece, what's wrong with your bell?
Oh, no.
Did you break it?
Nope, hold on. There we go. Okay.
Sounded gummed up.
Yeah, it was. There was a screwdriver in it for some reason.
Could there be a screwdriver?
There was a screwdriver in it.
What's happening at your house?
Well, I have a screwdriver here to work on my control board sometimes, and somehow it slipped into the bell. So they were having sex last night, apparently.
Strange addiction highlights. Addicted to butt injections today.
This is the one I want.
Oh, so good. Bean's Death Corner today.
Mm-hmm. Wheel of Bad Death.
Wheel of Bad Animal Voices today. And coming up just after 6, in about a half hour, your chance to win passes for Coachella, 3-day passes. So that's coming up this morning as well. We'll take a break. We will come back with the Showbiz Beat.
Paging Ralph Garman.
Hey, man, he's sleeping. Give him some rest.
Yeah, this show is at an inconvenient time for many of us. That's for sure. I'm sure he'll turn up. In the meantime, we'll take a look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Tuesday morning Kevin and Bean show. I guess if you're a celebrity or date a celebrity because you can, right? I mean, that's how that works.
Sure. I think it seems like it makes more sense that it'll have a lot in common with you and, you know.
Right. Well, we do always talk about how unusual it is when somebody marries a civilian. This is not one of those cases. This is two celebrities that I didn't even realize were dating that announced yesterday on The View that they got engaged about a week ago. Sarah Gilbert, who I guess was one of the daughters, the daughter on Roseanne, right? Mm-hmm. And now, isn't she a talk show host herself now? Isn't she on The Chew or The Talk or something like one of those shows now?
Yes, she is.
That's what I thought.
Yes,
that's why I was surprised that they made the announcement on The View. Seems like that's the type of thing you're getting engaged. You didn't make that announcement on your own show.
That is odd.
But she was a guest on The View, and she says that she is engaged to singer-songwriter Linda Perry, who, of course, is with Four Non Blondes. They did that What's Up song. But she is one of the most successful songwriters in the world. I mean, she has written for Christina Aguilera and Alicia Keys and Gwen Stefani and just on and on and on.
That's where the money is, isn't it?
Oh, my God. She's worth so much money. It's ridiculous.
Poor.
Anyway, they got engaged. She said it was very romantic. They were in the park, and a group of string instruments showed up and started playing their song, which was not one that Linda Perry wrote. It was Love Song by The Cure is their song. And then Linda did the old T-shirt trick where you pull off one T-shirt, then there's another one underneath, and it spelled out, "Will you marry me?" And the final one was a question mark. So they've been engaged about a week, and they're going to be getting married soon. So congratulations
very cool.
To them. Who knew?
It'd be funny if you went too far and took her shirt off. Amanda Bynes, drugs or serious mental health disorder? That's the question.
I will take drugs for 200, Alex.
That is a... She's in the news every day. The last time, yesterday, Ralph was talking about the fact that she was in the gym, mm-hmm. curled up in the fetal position, smoking with no pants.
Yes, that sounds like drugs.
She's become Lindsay Lohan, basically. She's kind of taken over the crazy a little bit from Lindsay.
Lindsay's on Letterman tonight, by the way. Latest episode with Amanda Bynes came at a gymnastics class in New York. And bystanders told the New York Post Page 6 gossip column that she showed up in a sexy leotard, fishnets, and spent the time muttering to herself. Unfortunately, things got worse when she attempted a cartwheel. Her wig fell off. She started crying and had to be escorted from the room.
Oh, wow.
What this kind of drugs you reckon that is?
I don't know. That's why the question is maybe there's some
maybe
kind of mental illness
both.
Here. Because that's weird.
Yeah, and she's so consistently crazy.
She's acting like a crazy homeless person is what she's acting.
Like a schizophrenic a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, there's a new celebrity sex tape, you guys.
Oh, really?
Farrah Abraham. I'm not familiar with the Teen Mom show. I don't watch it, but I think she's one who has had a lot of trouble in the past. Seems like I've seen her name connected with not making great decisions beyond being a teen mom. Which is, if that's how you started by getting famous, becoming a teen mom, you're already not making great decisions. But I think she's been in a lot of trouble even since then. Well, apparently she filmed a sex tape on Sunday. This is not one that got leaked. This is one that is being shopped around that she did on purpose with porn star James Dean. Now, you remember him, Kevin. Speaking of Lindsay, he's the one who starred with her in that movie, The Canyon.
Yes.
Right. Yeah, he's also the one that spoke at the navigating porn class that we were talking about with the professor a couple. I mean, this guy gets around. He's really got a high profile right now.
I'd love to get a copy of that.
Exactly. They apparently got tested on Friday and then filmed the sex tape on Sunday, and now it is being shopped around. Steve Hirsch, who runs Vivid Entertainment, says he has seen the film. He calls the work amazing, and he's doing everything in his power to get the rights to put it out. So I guess that just means writing a big enough check to put it out. But I think she's famous enough that people would have some interest in seeing what she looks like, making another baby.
I'll do some research.
We'll get back to you.
I'm not exactly positive exactly, but I'll do some research.
That's super nice of you, Kevin. You're willing to do that?
I volunteer. Don't worry about it. I'll take care of it.
And briefly before we close, today is Tuesday. That means new music comes out in stores today. And I just want to mention, because there are a couple of interest to K-Rock fans, including the new one from Stone Sour, House of Golden Bones Part 2. I bought Part 1, by the way, which only came out a few months ago, and it was really, really good. I love that band. Of course, Corey Taylor is the lead singer of that band, same guy from Slipknot.
He's the best.
Postal Service, that deluxe 10th anniversary edition is out today. We've been hearing about it for a long time. We've heard a couple tracks online, but now the whole record comes out. Paramore has a new album out today. Self-titled Paramore. How is Dave at work? Why is he not lined up somewhere?
Oh, I love them.
Also, if you're a longtime K-Rock fan, remember Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark? OMD is back with a new record called English Electric. It's been a long time since they've had one. So Richard Blade has a reason to get out of bed this morning. And it's one of the most controversial songs of the new year. I don't know if you guys have read about this accidental racist. Have you read about this song?
No. No.
Well, we have to talk about this at some point because this is country singer Brad Paisley apologizing for all the things that white people have done. And it's a sort of a duet. It has a guest verse from LL Cool J talking about how black people and white people need to get together.
All right.
Their intentions are in the right place, but people are saying it's not only a terrible song, but it is extremely wrongheaded and offensive and racist.
Needed.
Which is funny because it's called accidental racism. So anyway, that comes out today as well if you want to check that out, or probably just avoid it.
Nope, need it.
Celebrity birthdays. The beautiful Leighton Meester from Gossip Girl is 27 years old today. Also, Kristen Stewart from Twilight is 23. Yep.
Yes,
Kristen
she
Stewart.
Is.
How is she only 23? I guess she started young on those Twilight movies, but it seems like she's been famous
she's
a super
been
long
acting
time.
Acting like a dick for years.
Yeah, exactly. Cynthia Nixon from Sex and the City is 47 years old today. Actress Elle Fanning is 15 today. That's probably enough for now. We'll let Ralph handle the rest of them next hour. That is the K-Rock Show Biz Beat.
All right, we're going to open the lines 1-800-520-1067. For those of you that listen early, it's time for you to win Coachella 3-day passes. You're going to have to play the hardest game in the world, which is not easy. 1-800-520-1067. You call, you can win 3-day passes for Coachella, which is this Friday, and you can win them next.
Just a few days away from weekend number one of Coachella 2013, we would like to hook you up with 3-day passes, which are sold out, and access to the K-Rock Coachella house. We're going to do it bright and early for you right now with a game we like to call the hardest game in the world.
Presenting the hardest game in the world.
Sort of weird. Ralph overslept, so he's not quite here yet.
What does Ralph have to do with Mr. Announcer Man, who's not here also?
I was going to say, it's weird that they both slept in on the same day.
Okay, good. I hope you weren't trying to make any connections.
No, don't be ridiculous.
No, not at all. But Senior Announcer Hombre is here. Hi, Senor.
Hola, Kevin E. Frijol.
Senor Announcer Frijole, whatever you just said, how does the...
Frijole.
I know.
You're the Frijole.
How does the game work?
Ay, mio.
For folks who haven't heard this one.
This is a game where we'll play the name of Coachella bands, bandos, but we'll play them backwards.
Are you, that's what makes it tough.
Are you trying to put on a Mexican accent?
No.
You're Mexican. Just talk.
Stupid.
What's wrong with
you? I am not. No accent. I don't even have an accent.
Dave, you already sound Mexican enough without putting on a silly voice, okay? All right. So, again, for those who don't speak whatever Dave's trying to speak there, we play the name of one of the major acts that's going to be at Coachella this weekend, except it's backwards. So that's what makes it the hardest game of the world. All you have to do is tell us what it is. You go into the drawing. Someone wins the prize at the end of the game. Who's up first, senor?
Let's go one numero uno, Lino. And Mato, he is un baseball coach in la escuela.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Making up a language as we go. Hi,
hi,
Matt.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Now, we're
going
to pick big bands that are playing Coachella. There are hundreds of bands. We're not going to pick, like, the Banana Hammocks that are playing the Sahara Tent or anything. It'll be a major band.
I'm banking on Infected Mushroom.
Yeah, Infected Mushroom.
Yeah, these are actually the ones that you're actually paying to go see, so that'll give you a hint. We'll narrow it down a little bit for you. So listen up. We can only play it for you twice, but here's the band backwards. Then you tell us who it is forwards.
All right. One time.
Heroin.
One more time.
Heroin.
Postal Service?
Oh, sorry.
New Order.
No.
Nice try, though. Thank you so much for playing. Senor announcer Hombre, who's next?
Let's go to Lino 2.
What's and Lino?
Lino, that's Spanish for line.
Okay.
I doubt
it. Let's go to Grego. Gregio.
It's just Greg.
He works
just
in
Greg.
Nails. JK is sales.
What's happening?
Wow.
All hell's breaking loose.
Hi, Grego. Welcome to the program. You ready to play?
Yes, sir.
All right. Here's your band backwards. Good luck.
Say. Hey. Hey.
One more time.
Say. Hey. Hey.
All right. What band is that? Did you give us an answer?
Red Hot Chili Peppers.
So it was three of the same
really?
Words.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yes.
Yeah, why sorry. Would you say Red Hot Chili Peppers, Greg? Why?
Ay, Dios mío.
Okay, thank you for playing. Who's next, senior announcer, Hombre?
Let's go to line tres, and that's Matteo.
Just Matt.
C.
Just Matt. Matt
He's
C.
a television director.
Hey, Matt.
Hey, Matt, what kind of shows do you direct on TV?
Korean television.
All right.
Congratulations.
My favorite.
All right. Well, listen up. This may sound like Korea, but it's actually one of the Coachella bands backwards. We'll play it for you twice. Good luck.
One more time.
Social distortion.
Yes.
Social distortion.
Nicely done. You're the first person to get it.
I don't know what you said, but it sounded funny. Congratulations. Hang on. You are in the drawing. We have time for maybe a couple more contestants at most. Senor announcer Hombre, who's next?
Lino Ford, Alicia, arriba!
Hi, Alicia.
Hi.
Hi, welcome to the game.
Okay.
Alicia, how have you been doing so far listening on hold?
I got the yeah-yeah-yeahs.
Yeah. Any smart person
would.
Have,
yes.
All right, good luck. I think this one's a little bit easier than some, so good luck.
Gonna hear it twice. Here you go.
Girl.
One more time.
I don't know.
It's hurl. Isn't that weird? Oh, wait, no. Oh, I'm sorry. It's
blur.
Blur.
Oh, that's what we're looking for.
Blur. Sorry. Thank you for calling.
Alicia, no bueno.
No. Hey, senior announcer Hombre, this game is not easy.
No, es muy difficult.
Oh, my God. All right. Let's just do one more contestant.
You Matt are a sad, sad Mexican.
Matt is already in the drawing. Let's see who else we can get in. Who's up next?
Let's go to Chado.
Chado.
Just Chad. His name's just Chad.
Yo, yo.
Hey, Chado.
No one's named Chado. You know that, Senor, right? No one is named Chad.
Except on line five, Chado.
All right, Chado. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Good luck.
Surfabilish Nahner.
One more time.
Surfabilish Nahner.
Postal Service.
Oh, man.
Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Damn it.
You're kidding me.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry, Chado. Thanks for playing. All right, so Matt is in the drawing. Also, Matt and Matt, Lisa,
yes.
But only one can win.
Oh.
Who's it going to be?
All right, let's see. Oh, my God, it's Matt.
Oh, how did he win?
Viva Mato!
Matt is the only person that got it right. Congratulations.
Woo!
3-day passes for this weekend, along with access to the K-Rock Coachella house. Well done, my friend. Thank you, Mr. Announcer,
Woo!
Senior
Vida.
Announcer Hombre.
Si se puede.
My Strange Addiction is our one of our very favorite shows. It's on the TLC network. I think it airs Wednesday nights at 10, I want to say. And this season, they've done a lot of people who eat crazy things like sand or drink crazy things like blood or have sex with crazy things like inflatable toys. But now we're getting into some body dysmorphia here because they did an episode recently of I'm Addicted to My Breasts. We haven't done that one yet. And Kevin, you've got I'm Addicted to Butt Injections. And this is a woman who's obsessed with her own ass, right?
My name is Carmelo. I'm 23 years old. I have a 4-year-old son. And I'm addicted to butt injections.
They really do. They're really exceptional with the music on this particular episode.
They are.
Really good. I'm addicted to butt injections, and then they go... Bum, 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 bum.
Every... Butt injections.
They do. They put the scary music on like every episode is Bates Motel, don't they?
Before the injections, she was a size 4. Now she's a size 10. And she's much happier.
I am happier because I never had a butt. It's nice and firm and up how I want it to be up. I picked up more attention than before as far as comment on my butt or something like that. It definitely steps up my confidence.
Steps up her confidence. She gets a lot of compliments on her butt.
Now, she gets a lot of attention. She didn't necessarily say compliments.
Good point.
Because your jaw will hit the ground if you see this girl walk by you.
Yeah, it's crazy because, look, there are a lot of people with big butts, but most of the big-butted people have big bodies.
Right.
And her body is a normal size.
Normal
and her,
size, yeah.
Her butt is cartoonish.
It is.
Now, let me ask you two things real quick before we get back to Carmella. One is, Lisa, don't most women go to the gym to do everything they can to keep their butt as small as possible?
Well,
isn't the butt a problem area for a lot of women?
Yes and no. I mean, if you have a flat butt, you hate that.
Especially
nobody wants
so you want a little bit of a curve.
Especially if you're African American.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. That's
prize. Because in that community, having a butt that's a size or two bigger than the rest of you is not a bad thing. But
right.
This girl went like 20 times bigger than the rest of her.
That was going to be my thing, too, is wondering if this is partly because she's African American, is that the butt is, you know, is prized.
It is.
Butt injections.
How many butt injections has she had over the last 3 years?
Over the last 3 years, Carmelo's had 54 butt injections, yet she's never bared her behind to a plastic surgeon.
What? 54 butt injections,
this is
but...
insane.
She's never gone to a plastic surgeon, then...
Who's doing them?
Who's giving her the shots?
She receives her shots on the black market, getting pumped with an unregulated substance that's been known to include metal lubricant and cement.
No.
It's been known to include metal lubricants and cement.
Is this just, I assume, cost-cutting is all? It's just cheaper to go get it from a non-doctor?
Yes.
Way cheaper. I don't even think doctors really, they do fat injections in your butt, but otherwise.
They don't use cement.
I think you use surgery to get a bigger butt.
But at least she knows the woman. That's good.
The woman who does give the injections, you know, I don't know what her background is like.
Oh.
We meet different places, sometimes in a hotel room.
You meet in a hotel room sometimes?
And this woman has a needle with stuff that she just injects into her butt?
Yep, and she has no idea what it is, but she loves it.
Oh, my God.
Any side effects?
Since the 54 injections, I get these light headaches. Do I know for sure it's from the butt injections?
No.
Not at all.
No, she doesn't.
It could be from anything.
That's right. It's not the butt injections necessarily, just because she's getting headaches since she had the 54 butt injections.
Oh, my God.
How do you find someone like this?
I don't know.
How do you decide the first time I'm going to let this stranger inject me with something that's not medically approved?
I don't know, but she has a friend who almost died from the exact same thing, who's concerned because the woman that she's using was indicted.
Oh, my God.
And there's some information out there.
The lady that she was getting injected from was indicted. It said in the court documents that she was injecting girls with things from hardware stores.
Okay, so in court, she had to admit that she was injecting things she found in a hardware store.
Who does that?
I don't know.
This whole thing is insane.
So a friend talks her into going to the doctor. Like all episodes, she goes to the doctor. The doctor wants to know what the procedure is.
Did she do anything afterwards? I mean, did she stitch up the incisions?
She put super glue, then cotton balls on each shot that she gave me.
She put super glue and cotton balls.
Well, then there should be no trouble.
On each shot. Okay. Super glue. So she injects her butt with cement and then puts super glue on it.
I didn't know you could do everything from Home Depot.
It just takes one bad injection to literally kill you. If it's a substance that's not sterile, you could get some major infections. It can enter your bloodstream and it can literally clot up your lung. And within minutes, you can die. And that's it. End of story.
Nice music. Good. Now comes the question that we always ask.
Yeah.
She went to see the doctor.
Uh-huh.
He said stop it.
He told her the risks. Now she knows. But will she continue to get the butt injections?
Taking guesses?
I'm going to say she sounds crazy obsessed, and she's been doing it a long time, over 50 injections so far and no ill side effects. I'm going to say yes, she's going to continue to do it.
First of all, headaches, but she's not sure it's from that.
Right, Lisa?
I think once a doctor says you could die like that, maybe that would wake her up.
Her friend asks her.
You still wanted a bigger butt?
Yeah. I'm still thinking about going back.
There you go.
Butt injection. The beautiful and talented Hannah Simone joins us next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. She's so smart, by the way, in real life, this one. She's awfully intimidating. She plays Cece on New Girl.
She's intimidating for you. What is she for me?
I don't like these girls that have it all. They make me nervous. I'm sorry. Anyway, she'll be joining us this 7 o'clock hour. Also, Wheel of Bad Animal Voices on the program today, and we're going to talk citizens' arrests later on. First, though, how about a brand new Bean's Death Corner?
Hey, everybody. Gather all the kiddies around the radio. It's time for Bean's Death Corner.
Bean loves death any time of day. He gets all giddy and screams hooray.
There's something wrong in his head. Death.
We don't know what's wrong with Bean, but now you'll get to see what we mean.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
I
love death.
Not animal death. That makes Bean very sad. Human death, though, very happy.
There's a lot of sweet, sweet death going on, and sometimes you go, you're a dumbass and you deserve to die. And you guys tell me if this is one of those or if this is just sad and tragic. Lee Halpin, 26 years old, decided he wanted to apply for a job with Channel 4 in Britain as an investigative reporter. So he thought, hey, you know what I'm going to do is I'm going to make myself a tape. I'm going to actually shoot something, and then I'll, you know, put that in with my resume.
Sure.
So he decided he was going to do a feature on homelessness, and he was going to live on the streets for a week and find out what it's like to be homeless. Posted a video about this on his Twitter last weekend and said, I'm going to go out and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to sleep outside, and I'm going to beg for food, I'm going to do everything they do, and I'm going to put it up and try to get a job with Channel 4. Well, needless to say, he froze to death because it was in the 20s.
No.
He succumbed to hypothermia and was found living in a cardboard box 4 days later.
Oh, God. Oh,
that's a hell of a story. That is a hell of a story.
He certainly spotlighted the dangers of being homeless in cold weather, didn't he?
Wow.
But is he a dumbass or did he deserve it? What's your ruling on Lee Halpin, 26, who's now dead?
It was his choice. He's a dumbass.
He's a dumbass.
Yeah. I mean, look, if you feel bad, do everything you can to help the homeless people, but if you don't have to sleep outside in the 20s, don't do it. Right?
Or figure out a way to stay warm.
Find out how those homeless people aren't dying.
Exactly. They seem to be able to last more than 4 days on the streets. Maybe that should be part of your story. Here's a tragic, sad story. It looks on the surface just like another relationship gone bad. A 22-year-old man stabbed his girlfriend to death, but the reason he did it is why he made Bean's Death Corner. He killed her, he says, because his girlfriend was a Taurus. He's very into astrology. He said he would have preferred to sacrifice his grandfather because he was a Taurus, but that he lived too far away. So he decided to kill his girlfriend instead, stabbed her to death. He told investigators he had to do the sacrifice based on the Taurus sign. He fought the victim like he was fighting a dragon. He said he felt like a new man afterward. When police found the suspect and asked about his girlfriend, he replied, she's in heaven. What's crazy about this story, besides being killed for your astrological sign, is that the woman was born in November and was not a Taurus.
Oh.
She was actually a Scorpio. He had her sign wrong.
He's a dumbass.
What a surprise. The crazy killer didn't get the information correct.
Oh, my God.
This won't surprise you, by the way, that he lives in Broward County, Florida. Sure. By the way, in jail being charged with first-degree murder. So kills over astrological sign turns out not even to be her sign. What's up with that?
Can't you just put that guy right to death?
I think you can. This is a bizarre story. The Manor Hotel in Bulawahu, which is in Zimbabwe. Apparently a man was having sex with a prostitute there when she collapsed and died. He calls 911, the equivalent in Zimbabwe. The police come to take her away. While they're loading her into the van to take her away, she wakes up.
What?
She starts screaming at the cops, you want to kill me, you want to kill me. A number of people who had gathered to witness the woman's dead body being removed from the room at the hotel reportedly fled the scene, some of them falling down, others tripping over each other in a riot, in a panic to get away from this woman who they thought was being resurrected. It turns out, by the way, she was not pronounced dead by a doctor. The police on the scene had felt the body, said that she was cold, said she was dead, and started to pack her up to take her away when she woke up as she was leaving.
Wow.
What a crazy night that guy had. You have a prostitute. First she's dead. Then she comes back to life and starts screaming at the police and causes a riot. That's a weird story.
That's
right
a
there.
Party.
Did someone die leaving?
No, nobody got killed in the crash.
I'm disappointed.
Not much of a death, but all right.
A bizarre story.
I'm in favor of that.
Here's another weird story in this Bean's Death Corner here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Here's a woman who was, her son, she was 62 years old. Her son called in last Friday, a couple of Fridays ago, that she had been missing. Well, 3 days later, they found her car in a ditch. A 2000 Pontiac was found in a deep ditch about 30 miles southwest of where they lived in Raleigh, North Carolina. The airbags were deployed, but nobody was in the car. So they had the car towed, continued to look for the woman. She still didn't show up for the whole week. 4 days later, that following Friday, they go to the junkyard where the car had been taken to see if they missed anything, if there were any clues that might have led to an answer of where this woman had disappeared
to. Don't you say she was in the back seat?
They found the body in the car where it had been the entire time.
How could they not see that?
Yes, it was crushed in the car. His son, who had originally reported his mom missing, said, "I'm thinking she might have even still been alive when they took her to the junkyard." How do you not look in the car when you pull the car out? How do you not see a body in the car? Is that a crazy story? By the way, the police officer who investigated the accident at the time right after the car was found and said that the body was in the car, he's been suspended and they're investigating right now to find out how he made such a horrific mistake.
Well, that makes a little sense.
And finally, not a lot of details on this story. Some are alleging that it has to be a hoax. A story from Russia, 28-year-old Vladimir Krasnov gets into a fight with a friend of his over a girl. They get into a fight. He kicks his friend in the butt and apparently kills him by shoving his foot literally up a man's ass.
What?
His friend Sergey died of internal bleeding, police said. Now the man has been arrested. He is in jail facing 15 years for homicide, claims that alcohol was responsible. He doesn't remember much about the accident, but he kicked his friend in the butt and his foot went up his ass, and that's what killed him.
That is not how you want to go.
Does that seem like that is likely that could happen?
No.
Physically? Is that a thing?
Did he have a cowboy boot on or something?
He doesn't say what he was. That's an excellent question. I don't know. It does seem like a barefoot, certainly, you would think wouldn't do it, but that's a bad way to go, is have somebody kick you up the ass, right?
I don't want that.
Don't do that.
Note to friends.
Do not kick me up the ass. This has been an all-new Bean's Death Corner.
That was Bean's Death Corner.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
Oh, Bean loves death so much.
It is Tuesday morning here on the world-famous Carrick. Time for a very well-rested, I assume, Ralph Garman and the Showbiz Bean.
Amanda Bynes is just getting sad now.
It is, actually.
It's not funny anymore because they're starting to think she's got a serious mental disorder. She was found recently in a gymnastics class in New York City, and other members of the class tell the New York Post that she showed up in a sexy leotard, fishnet stockings, but spent the whole time muttering to herself. At one point, she attempted a cartwheel. That's when her wig fell off. She started crying and had to be escorted out of the room.
I've seen a lot of people on drugs. I don't know.
Because she's so consistently crazy now.
It sounds like she may have just...
She may be doing drugs and have a mental illness.
Yeah. And that happens sometimes. People who have some sort of mental illness will self-medicate by using recreational drugs. So, at one point, I thought it was hilarious.
Well, yeah.
I mean, the idea of her curled up in a corner smoking with her pants off in the gym is just funny to me.
That's hilarious.
That's like, that's a Gary Busey kind of moment, you know? But, she's like, wigs are falling off and she's just crying and they have to, like, escort her out of the room and everything.
She has parents. Why don't they take her to a doctor?
Her parents having a hard time connecting with her. I've heard they're trying to reach out to her, but having a hard time. She doesn't want to talk to anybody. She's living like a recluse, more or less.
Yeah, and she's an adult. You can't commit her without her, unless...
herself or others, yeah. Right. She's moving around a lot, too, so...
Wow.
It's getting sad.
If she pulls out of it, it's funny.
Yes.
If she doesn't, it's not at all.
If we see her on the Katie Couric show saying, a year from now, I don't know what I was thinking. I was huffing, and it was crazy behavior, but I'm better now, thanks.
Then it was funny.
See my new movie, Agent Cody Banks 3, coming to a theater near you, then we'll all laugh.
Because we saw Charlie Sheen go through a super crazy phase, and Britney Spears went through a super crazy phase, and Miley Cyrus did the same thing, and sometimes they do come out of it.
Yeah, so
all entertaining.
Which I'm more upset, I think, that now I feel sad about it than I am actually upset about it.
She should give us a guarantee she's going to come out of
it. I enjoyed laughing about it, and now I can't, and that makes me sad.
Yeah.
This Farrah Abraham, the teen mom, what a week it's been for her. There was rumors, TMZ had a story, that she had a sex tape that was going to break. She's a mother, by the way. Let's keep this all in mind, a teen mom. Half of that is mom. She is a 20-year-old, just a hot mess. And they said she had a sex tape that someone was shopping around to porn companies. And she said, no, this is ridiculous. That doesn't exist. And it's on my own personal life. And this is, if I did have something like that, it'd be my personal private life. And it's not for anybody to talk about. And they had her on cameras being very upset about the rumors that there was a sex tape of her floating around. Well, her co-star from that sex tape, porn star James Dean, told TMZ, we shot it the other day.
On purpose, to be
a
sex tape.
Apparently, yes. It's not like someone was shooting sex in her bedroom with her boyfriend or something. She went out and got herself one of the biggest porn stars in the world, male porn stars, James Dean, this guy who did the Canyons with Lindsay Lohan. You may remember the name. They shot it this weekend. He said they're just strictly professional partners, no relationship there, no romance. I got tested on Friday and then saw her on the set. That's my only experience with the lady. So apparently they are shopping what is now a professional porn movie starring Farrah Abraham, as opposed to one that was shot in the privacy of their own home.
What about all the protesting about how she didn't...
That's what people are asking. Yeah. They think it may just be part of the publicity promotional buzz, trying to, you know, drum up enough interest, as much interest as possible.
And I don't know much about that Teen Mom show, Ralph, but this is a show where Dr. Drew impregnates a bunch of teenagers and then helps raise the kids, right?
Yeah, they bring them out in chains, and it's like, you know that scene in Taken where the Sultan has the white slavery and they put her up on the stage and they bid on him?
This is not it at all.
Drew lines him up against the wall and he just picks out the teenage girls he wants to impregnate.
That's not the case.
He gets them pregnant and then he browbeats them and tells them how bad they are for being pregnant. It's
weird that VH1 gives Drew a show to make fun of his own kids.
They're not his kids.
It's tragic, actually.
Not his kids.
The XXX footage is being shopped around to various porn companies, including Vivid, and president of Vivid, Steve Hirsch, said, "It's amazing." He's seen the entire tape, and he said, "I'm doing everything in my power to get the rights to put it out."
All right.
She had the rights to put it in, so it all worked out for everyone. Looks like we may have a burgeoning new porn star on our hands, which is just, it's so hard to find new talent in porn.
It is.
It's been the same old people for the past 30, 40 years. Finally, some new star. Oh, wait a minute. Every day there's a new girl getting into porn.
But this
at least...
This is the youngest MILF, right?
She's a teen mom, and she is 20.
Maybe that's the name of the movie, Kevin.
The youngest MILF.
Like it.
Kevin really should work for a porn company. Really. Judging from your tweets.
How dare you?
And what you pay attention to, what you don't pay attention to, where your skill set lies. I really think you need to make the move into porn.
How dare you?
I could see you at the head of a porn company. What did you do, films? I like it. And as expected, Sunday's season 6 Mad Men premiere. That's almost like a tongue twister.
Yeah.
Sunday season 6 Mad Men premiere did very well for itself. Second most watched episode ever for the series. A little off from last year's premiere, but doing very well, considering especially it was up against the Country Music Awards and Game of Thrones over there on HBO as well. So it did very well for itself.
Did it feel weird, Ralph, when you sat down to watch it, that to kind of get yourself back in that headspace of Mad Men? Because it's a very specific universe, and we haven't seen it for 10 months.
Yeah.
Because Bob was smoking, and then he hit on the secretary.
First of all, there's no
copy
Bob.
Machine.
No Bob.
Oh.
They do smoke, but that's not really part of the storyline.
Sex on the copy machine?
It wasn't the story. No sex on the copy machine. I thought was weird is that they always do this, and I forgot about it, is that when they go to the premiere of a new season of Mad Men, they jump right into the storyline as if you've been gone for 10 months, but they've still been living their lives.
Right.
So there's brand new characters that you have no idea who they are, and they don't take any.
Really?
They don't bother to introduce them to you or anything. You just have to kind of pick up as you go along.
So it's a little bit sort of your bad for not following while they were off.
It's like, where have you been? We've been living our lives. Where have you people been?
I like that.
You're just going to have to catch up as we go along. And they just jump in the middle storylines that you have no idea what's happening. That's why, again, Kevin, I think it may not be the show for you.
I think I agree.
Yeah. But did very well for itself. On the other side of the ratings spectrum, Donald Trump's All-Star Celebrity Apprentice
Yes.
Hit a new season low on Sunday night.
You finally. Say that every week. How can that be? It keeps going down.
NBC.
Wow.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Dennis Quaid is 59 years old today. Jenna Jameson celebrates her 39th birthday. Gerard Way of the now broken up My Chemical Romance is 36. Albert Hammond Jr. of the Strokes is 33 years old. Leighton Meester, 27. Kristen Stewart is 23. Elle Fanning, super talented. Who would have thought that there would be another Fanning girl other than Dakota who would be even more talented than her sister?
It's a little annoying.
That family's just chock full of acting talent. She's 15 years old and... stop it. Hugh Hefner, legendary Playboy magazine founder, celebrates his 87th birthday today. And by 80, and by celebrate, I mean he looks over at that woman he's married to and says, so this is all there is? I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thanks a lot for tuning in. We did it last hour, and we're going to do it again in the 9 o'clock hour, and that'll give you a chance to score a pair of sold-out three-day passes to Coachella. You know that's this weekend, you guys.
Friday.
It's finally here. I feel like we've been hearing about it for months. But you not only get to go to the show all 3 days, you also get access to the K-Rock Coachella House with lots of exclusive live performances, too. So, again, before the end of the show today, we'll hook you up here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. We have to do this because there are just too many good stories, including Purston Howell III from the Rich Cats of Instagram.
Okay.
The giant Iranian rats.
Uh-huh.
The... Can't even read that one. All right. The jet fuel huffing Russian bears.
Aww. Hope it doesn't land on the one you can't read. That's going to make for an awkward conversation.
It's Chip's writing. Brazilian wandering spider. Holly, the cat who walks 200 miles to get home.
Holly.
Willie, the foul-mouthed cockatoo. The killer Asian tiger mosquitoes. The giant African house-eating snails invading Miami.
Okay. That's a lot to choose from.
Time to spin the wheel.
It's time for the... Yeah! Voices. Where do you think it's gonna land?
Don't know.
It's gonna be pretty bad, but Kevin and Bean don't care, so we'll do it anyway. It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
All right, spin the wheel. Let's see what happens.
I wasn't happy with that. Let me do it again.
Much better. Yeah, much better.
Right? You can feel
one.
It, right?
I felt that one. Sure.
It's the jet fuel huffing Russian bear.
Oh, my God.
Yay! How about that?
All right.
Bears shouldn't be huffing jet fuel. What's this about? What's this story?
This is the bears that are living on the Kronotsky Nature Reserve have taken to huffing jet fuel out of old barrels. What they do is they would just put the old barrels that they would store the jet fuel in.
Mm-hmm.
It's out in a field, and these bears discovered it and decided that they were going to start putting their heads down in there and start huffing it.
Oh, my God.
That's no good.
Then they got
that's
addicted
no
to it, and they would follow helicopters around in case they drop some
Jesus.
gas.
That's dangerous.
They really need their jet fuel.
By the way, here's how they do things so differently in Russia than they do in America. They have a nature reserve, which I assume is like a national park or some place where you're supposed to, you know, have animals that are protected and safe and everything like that. And they're dumping jet fuel in a nature reserve. Like, how is that a good use of the land?
That's the opposite of nature reserve.
It's the opposite. Right, exactly. Well, we asked producer Dave, could he please light us up somebody to talk about this story? And I'm not sure who we have, but maybe a spokesperson from the Kronotsky Nature Reserve on the line here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Hello there.
Hello.
Hi, you work for the nature reserve?
No, I don't. They live on nature reserve.
Oh, you live there. I see. Yes. Well, what do you know about these bears that we've been discussing?
I know that the bears are huffing the jet fuel.
Right.
Right.
And it is awesome, dude.
Right. Oh, this is one of the bears.
Oh, you're one of the bears. I see. What are the chances of that?
Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
Oh, you know about the feature we do here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Yes, I know. You waste too much time trying to figure out if it's animal or not. Hey, let me give you a hint for next time.
All right.
It's always animal.
Always animal.
Oh, always animal, I guess. All
right. Cut to the chase.
How did you start huffing jet fuel?
Well, I live on nature reserve. Mm-hmm. And I see a giant barrel leaking something substance onto ground.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And I go over and I go... Because that's what we do. We're bears. We sniff.
Right.
Yeah, you sniff things, sure.
And holy crap, I got so high. It was amazing.
Yeah.
And so now I said, I'm going to do that again. And I sniff again, and I got high again. It's the best thing that a bear has ever... It's the best thing since honey. That's what it is.
It seems like it would be tough for a bear to enjoy the wintertime very much. I mean, there's not a lot of food out there and everything. Yeah, so this kind of gives you something to do, kind of spices up your life some, right?
Yes. You can't go through a whole life of bear being sober.
Right.
It's
right, yeah.
Boring life. It is forage, hibernate.
Right,
forage,
yeah.
Hibernate. Forage, yeah. Forage, mate, forage, hibernate. It's the same thing over and over.
Now,
we can party like real animals.
What kind of parties do bears have?
Well, we all get around a barrel of jet fuel.
Right.
Uh-huh. We all sniff. And look, I go like this. I'm here at the airport now. We've moved from the reserve to an airport.
Really? You moved into the airport?
It's much easier to get jet fuel at airport than it is in nature reserve.
And who's going to stop you?
It's I'm giant Russian bear.
Right.
It's the size of me.
Yeah, you're a big bear. When Kevin finally decides to just live in a bar, it'll be the same kind of thing, just for convenience, right?
Yes. So here, and listen, what we do.
You're sniffing the jet.
Oh. Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Who's
you all right?
This? Who's on phone?
It's Kevin and B. We've been talking to you for several minutes.
Nice to meet you. What do you need?
Well, we were asking about huffing jet fuel.
Yes. I got jet fuel right here.
Okay. Hello?
Hello, who's this?
That is a quick high.
but cheap death.
It's undisputably one of the best shows on TV. New Girl on Fox airs Tuesday nights. Hey, that's tonight at 9 o'clock. We could not be more excited to welcome Cece Myers back to the Kevin and Bean Show. Actress Hannah Simone joins us here on K-Rock. Hi, Hannah.
Hey, how are you?
Do we have time for the theme or no?
I don't know, man. We better carve out a bunch of time for her to play the whole thing, I guess.
Who's that girl?
And we're back. How you been?
I've been great. Thank you. Yeah, we just shot our season finale, so...
What happens?
I like my job.
How many episodes between now and the finale still have to air?
A few. Tonight's the bachelorette party, and so we're ramping up towards Cece's wedding.
No one wants Cece to get married. No one.
Well, Chevron does.
Yeah, but he's not right for you. Come on, you know that. It certainly was the least romantic proposal in the history of television. So our parents like each other. Let's do this thing.
Yeah, let's do this thing. Yeah.
So tell me about that, because people do get very invested in the characters on their stories. Do you hear from people? Do you run into people who come up to you and give you advice on what they think Cece should be doing and not doing?
Oh, yes. Every day.
And what do they think about shivering?
They say, don't do that thing. That's right. What they say.
And you
don't
say,
do it.
I don't write the show.
Exactly. I go, this is what we're supposed to do. So it's, but it's been in a really incredible season. And tonight's episode, The Bachelorette Party, it's one of my favorites. So I'm so happy it's going to be finally on the air.
It looks pretty nutty. I do have a clip from the bachelor party, and this is where they're explaining a game to you that you're going to play, and then they have a question.
Surprise! It's your bachelorette party.
And she creates the dream bachelorette party that Cece has been talking about her entire life, which means it's pretty racy.
Your favorite game, pin the dong on the shebang.
Cece realizes at this bachelorette party that she hasn't seen the downstairs parts of Chevron.
Chances are he has like a standard garden variety penis. And if we're all really honest with ourselves, isn't it all about the gonads? Am I right, ladies?
No.
Oh my God.
No, you're not.
I was not expecting that.
Surprise!
I don't think that sentence has ever been said in the English language.
No.
By a female.
Oh, Jess. The thing is funny is that it was a huge cardboard cutout of Sathya Bhava, who plays Chevrong. Naked,
right.
With a bullseye over his nether regions, and he came on set, and there's, you know, all the crew and all the guest stars and everywhere, and there's this, you just couldn't not look at him naked with it. It was so funny, and his head was really big in the cutout, and his feet were really small. He was a little upset.
You guys get away with, that's a pretty racy show, by the way, that I think gets away with it because it's a comedy. Don't you get the impression? I mean, I'm sure they have lines that they must get there must get heat from the network, because I'm shocked at some of the stuff you guys are able to do on your show.
Happily.
Sexy time stuff.
We do have a lot of sexy time stuff on our show, yeah. But I mean, everything gets run by the network, so they're cool with it. They've been
You're
so
right
great.
On the line, yeah. though, is what I'm saying, which is awesome.
Which is great. You know, they let us go right up to it. But I mean, it's a show about people in, you know, their 20s and 30s, and they're dating, sure. and they're doing crazy
they're
stuff. So you kind of
like
have to... You kind of have to go right up to it.
Now, tell me, I know that, you know, obviously what's awesome about CeCe hooking up with this guy and it looks like marrying the guys is just throwing, you know, Schmidt into a tizzy here. But what does she see in him besides the fact that he's just stable and drama free? Do you sense that there's a spark between those two, or do you sense that she's kind of settling a little bit just because she got tired of all the drama dating?
I think it's just that point in your life. And so many women have come and talked to me about it since the eggs episode, where she realized that her biological clock is ticking way faster than she expected.
Do you want to have those conversations with all the women that come up to you?
Well, that's a strange thing about this show. It's a comedy, but it touches on these, like, real life issues.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, people, you know, come up and say the show's funny, but a lot of women will be like, it's so funny, I love it. And they'll be like... Yeah, but I'm also, like, really concerned because I don't know if I should, like, you know, have kids now. I'm like, whoa.
We were just talking about a fiction 1 second
yeah,
ago.
Exactly. I was like, right.
I had this guy with the eggs. I don't know
if he's the right guy for you. I haven't met him. He seems really nice in the supermarket aisle. I say, have the baby.
Go for it.
I don't know.
So that really is kind of what CeCe is doing. She's just being ruled by her clock.
Yeah. Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah, that's the thing. So I think then it's like, your heart versus your head. I think that's the whole season for CeCe has been her heart versus her head.
Yeah. And it's also interesting, and again, not to, you know, not to get too deep on this, because we are talking about a wacky comedy, but it's also interesting that it was easy for CeCe and Schmidt to be to have sex all the time. That didn't seem like a big commitment, but somehow emotionally it's very difficult for them to be able to work it out and connect.
Yeah, I think a lot of people in our generation, I'm sure in many generations, can relate to that. They find physical intimacy easy. Emotional intimacy is terrifying.
Yeah, we can date. We can be as close as you want, but let's not put a label on it.
Yeah, let's not talk about how we really feel, which I thought was so great in season one, because they made Schmidt break his... And then they had to really figure out if they liked each other or not. That's how far they had to go with CeCe and Schmidt. It wasn't like a little minor thing. They were like, let's take Max Greenfield and snap it in half and see what happens.
We're going to take a break, but when we come back, we have a bunch of other stuff we want to talk about, including the greatest shaving commercial in the history of television. She says, I will never use anything but Gillette and never think about anything but you when I'm shaving. But Hannah Simone is here. She is CeCe on New Girl, of course, which is back tonight with a brand new episode that sounds hilarious at 9 on Fox. More with our guests in a moment after this on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Who's that girl? Who's that girl? Who's that girl?
Don't have time. Sorry.
It's just seriously very busy. Very busy. Actress Hannah Simone in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. She is one of our favorite guests that we ever have. You're adorable is what you are.
Thanks, man.
And you're in such a good mood this early in the morning.
Yeah,
most of the time people come in and they want to be in a good mood and they're genuine about it, but they just feel like ass.
They're not bad people.
Right.
They're just getting them at a wrong
Keep
time
in mind,
of their day.
I'm an actress.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's true. Hey, I need a Gillette Fusion Pro Guide slider. I need that.
Or a styler.
Whatever it's called. Tell me about this crazy commercial. And of course, the goal of a commercial is to get people to want to see it, you know, for free. Tell me about this commercial you did and how it happened, because it's so awesome.
Yeah, it's really exciting because, you know, Gillette is this classic male brand and they've finally came to and decided to incorporate women into who's going to be a spokesperson.
For the first time ever.
For the first time ever. And it's Kate Upton, Genesis Rodriguez, and myself kind of telling men...
Three good choices.
...what women want. When it comes to body styling, because they created this the great Gillette Fusion Pro Glide Styler. So we're really excited to be part of it. We had so much fun shooting that commercial.
Did you guys make out a lot or no?
No, unfortunately. I'm so sorry that didn't happen.
Pillow fights at all?
No pillow fights.
Panty raids? Nothing?
No panty raids. Right. No.
Hannah, who's hotter between you, Kate, and Genesis?
Why would you ask
You have to tell me. I can tell you what women want when it comes to body styling. You tell me what men want when it comes to the three of us.
We don't choose. We just get a giant rope.
All three.
And we take all of you.
Whoa, where'd the rope come from?
Easy.
Whatever it takes. Who's this guy in the commercial with all three of you, by the way? And tell me about that casting job.
I know, I have no idea. He was really lovely. He was a French-Canadian guy. And he was really nice. Yeah, because we shot all night at this house in the Hollywood Hills. He was great.
That was his job, Kevin. He went home to his roommates and said, yeah, doing a commercial with Hannah and Kate in Genesis. That's how I spent my evening. That's crazy. Now, you are really taking this to the next level, because is it true that there's going to be some sort of a live chat or something where guys can talk to you and ask, like, hair questions?
Yeah, there's a live event that's happening on YouTube.
That's
going to
go so poorly for you. I just thought of three questions you wouldn't want to be asked.
Well, you can ask whatever you like. April 18th, we're going to be on Gillette's YouTube page at noon Pacific. It's live. It's interactive. We will answer all your questions. I think it's going to be really fun. And the girls are so nice. And we're very opinionated. So,
do you have the same opinion, or you are opinionated in different ways?
No, I mean, we're
do you agree?
Three different women. So we have three different points of view. And it really is just to kind of help guys, because I think it's different. Women talk a lot about
grooming and styling,
and guys don't, but they usually want to, keep it together to please the woman, but they don't know what to do. So this is your opportunity to ask all the questions that you have.
All right, Can we just rule out the ball throw right now? Is that a given, would you say, is no ball throw? Hold on. She was about to answer.
Sorry, I didn't realize she was going to go for it.
Because I'm working on a very well-groomed one. No, I'm just kidding.
I'd like to see an Instagram picture, and then I'll answer your question.
What's your take on, and I see this a lot watching sports on TV, ridiculous goatees that people have, or just ridiculous facial hair that I don't understand what the draw is for some of the things that people are doing. Do you have a facial hair policy in your own dating life?
No, I mean, for me, the bottom line is, like, do you. Do you know what I mean? Like, whatever makes you feel good and you're confident, that's, I think, what's really attractive. What I think is really cool about this product, and, Gillette is, it's the best, male brand out there for this kind of stuff. I think that's the best tool for you. So whether you're like ZZ Top or you want to be like smooth as a baby, I think this is the tool that you should use.
I think you should move away from ZZ Top.
I grew up in Canada, in the mountains. You know what I mean?
Mountain men are good.
Yeah. Let me ask you just one more grooming question here, because I'm a little sensitive about this topic, but I'm curious how you come down on it. And that is chest hair, good or bad?
Like I said, I genuinely believe whatever you like and you feel confident about with your body – that's what you should
do. But you just told us 2 minutes ago that guys don't have any clue what a girl likes.
And that we should ask you.
That's true.
Your answer is, whatever you want to do, dude.
I know, it's on you, bro. It's about caring. I think that's the bottom thing. It's about caring and maintaining. Don't let it get out of control. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, you don't need a weed whacker at any point in your life.
If you're with somebody, the best thing to do is ask them. It's hard for a girl, I think, if she cares about you, to be like, lose it. I don't like that there. But if you ask her, trust me, a woman will tell you.
Because I just feel like I saw Lisa over the weekend. I was down for our April Foolishness comedy show, and she has more chest hair than I do. And that just made me uncomfortable for her and for me.
Rude.
No, that is rude.
Let me ask you this, because we only have a couple minutes left. This is actress Hannah Simone from New Girl here on the Kevin Bean Show. Last time we had you in, I think we mentioned briefly that you had been saving lives or busting up human trafficking rings or something like that. Are you still doing some of that work too?
Yeah, I mean, I work with the Pink Daisy Project, and they're a phenomenal organization, actually based in Bellingham, Washington. And they do incredible work. Go to their website, get involved. They help.
Tell us the website again.
It's pinkdaisyproject.com.
Pink Daisy, okay.
Yeah, it's an amazing woman who runs it, and they help young families where the mothers have breast cancer. And they just kind of help them with their medical bills and keeping the lights on, keeping their kids in school.
Wow.
We do so much work, and very important work for the cure, but for women who are living with it currently and who have families to support, they need the support now.
Yeah.
And she does such a great job. So Pink Daisy Project.
Pink Daisy Project sounds like they should be playing Coachella, doesn't it? I mean, it's like a band. Yeah. What are you doing for fun these days before you go? Have you got a chance to go anyplace cool in your off time or anything like that?
Well, we just literally wrapped on Friday, so.
So you're just starting to get your head around.
Starting. I'm what here do for I do? Fun. That's what I'm doing. I'm hanging out on radio talk shows, man.
Do you miss the VJ days when you used to be able to do this sort of thing rather than be, you know, reading somebody else's lines?
I mean, I loved being a VJ, and I did it for 3 years, and I really enjoyed it. And now I get to, you know, move into this part of my life, and this is really cool, too.
It's your first TV show, right?
It's my first TV show. Yeah. It's the first TV show for all of us on the show, really, you know, being part of a cast. So that's really cool that we kind of, you know, get to jump in together.
Well, we've said this before, but this show was one of the few shows that actually hits the ground running full speed.
Like
on
it had been on for
one.
5 years. Yeah. Right, exactly.
Yeah. And that's amazing. We've seen so many shows that end up being good that start kind
but
of
it
weak.
Takes a long time.
Anemic. It takes a while, yeah. But this show just hit the ground.
Yeah, well, we put the fun in dysfunction, so people seem to like that.
You need to do us a favor because we've had all the roomies on except for Winston, and we're dying to get Winston on, too. So will you hook us up with that actor? Because we love him, and we'd love to have him on sometime. Seriously.
I'll call right now. Be here in 5 minutes. Trust me.
But don't use the word hook up with, if you don't mind. I mean it like that.
Talking about us. All right, we're out of time. You can follow Hannah on Twitter, and you should because she's hilarious and does awesome Instagram, by the way. Hannah Simone, at Hannah Simone is where you want to follow her. New Girl on Fox if you want to follow that. And the new episode airs tonight at 9. It's Cece's Bachelorette Party, and that sounds like fun because it involves gonads. You're awesome, Hannah. Thank you for squeezing us in. We really enjoyed spending time with you.
No worries. Thank you.
I miss Hannah.
Don't get all creepy on us now.
No, I'm not being creepy at all. I just adore her. Wasn't it better when she was here? Tell me the world
yeah,
wasn't
was
a better,
better
place when she was here.
But it was
here.
Worse
That's
when you
saying.
Were talking to her. Yeah, so we're torn.
It was better for me, I'll tell
Could
you that.
Could she just be here and you not talk to her?
I just love her so much. Hey, we're going to talk about what happened to Jenna Jameson. Citizens' arrests in the news, which fascinate us. That's coming up right after the top of the hour here on the World Famous K-Rock. First, though, Ralph joins us for the Showbiz Beat here on a Tuesday.
Did you guys have pillow fights?
Yeah. A legitimate question.
Did you make out a lot?
I did start that. As soon as I said that, I was like, okay, A, that's creepy, and B, that's going to make Bean jump in with both feet, and that's not going to go well.
Yeah, it's a little creepy.
It's stunning to me that you two ever got married, let alone the multiple times that you've been married, that you got more than one woman to fall for anything that comes out of your mouth. It's really shocking. I know Bean chloroformed him, but you, Kevin, somehow managed to use the English language and get women.
Well, I didn't use the English language. Language of love, my friend.
Blech.
Kevin won his wife over with his gonads, apparently.
That's right.
My ball for a
ficky. Sad day for Clay Aiken. Frightening day.
What happened?
An obsessed fan broke into his property and made it all the way to his front door, according to police. The stalker snuck into Clay's gated community in North Carolina, hopped a fence surrounding his home, and was seen trying to peer into his window at the front of the house. Clay was home at the time. The stalker, who police say comes from the Seattle area.
Wow. To North Carolina?
Crashed Clay's compound and then was arrested. Clay is trying to get a restraining order against Bean, but no word on whether that will actually happen.
First of all,
Bean is due in court on April 24th to face charges against stalking and breaking into the home.
What were you
Clay
trying
Aiken.
To accomplish, Bean, by getting in his house?
First of all, I am a Claymate. I do admit that, but I have no interest in Clay's front door.
Yeah, it's a little creepy.
You think?
How are you still able to take our breath away like you punched us in the gut?
What are the odds, though, that Clay Aiken's stalker would be from the Seattle area?
Most are, I think.
Where were you
That's
on
where
April
all the crazies
3rd?
Live.
Where were you on April 3rd, Bean?
Our area is really more famous for serial killers than it is for stalkers.
Well, so. He wasn't done.
You know, it's even creepier than the Bean being the stalker, which is hard press to beat. The actual stalker is a 57-year-old woman named Barbara Saylor.
Oh, my God.
Wow. How's a 57-year-old woman scaling a gated community to get her? She really loves Clay Aiken.
She does.
Or she's in great shape.
And does she know nothing about him?
Yeah, right.
You know?
Clay's not interested in you.
Right.
Barbara. while we're talking about sex and celebrity, this teen mom story. Listen, I didn't really know who Farrah Abraham was until the past couple days. So yeah. Apparently it's working. Whatever her plan is working. There was, first of all, a rumor that there was a sex tape featuring her that was being shopped around. She denied it very publicly on TMZ, especially that had a camera in her face. And she said, I exist not.
It was me?
It was a very Kevin moment where she said, in no uncertain terms, that there was no sex tape. And people who talked about it were just being rude. Then James Dean, the porn star, came forward and said, oh, yeah, that sex tape, we just shot that this weekend. It's not a private sex tape. We actually were on a set. We had been tested and everything. It was a porn production, and we made a porn film. Honcho of Vivid Pictures said he's seen the tape. It's hot, and he wants to get the rights. He wants to buy the rights to release it. Remember, this is the Teen Mom, by the way.
Right.
From, what, MTV's Teen Mom?
VH1? I don't know.
What station's it on?
I don't know anything about the Teen Moms.
I don't either.
Now her mother has stepped up to
get involved,
to defend her daughter.
Yes, to say what?
In what way?
She said the following. This is her statement. My daughter has never expressed interest in things like that, she said regarding pornography. She was not brought up that way. We have religious beliefs, she said about her daughter, who gave birth at 16, has been popped for DUIs, had had several, at least one boob job, and has been known for her lesbian romps.
I want to be in that religion.
We have religious beliefs. So
That's what she said.
Her daughter would never be involved in something like that.
Okay.
Her mom later added, make sure to pick up the video when it's a store near you. June 18th. So the publicity machine continues.
Oh, yeah. I would do everything to her. I would wreck that chick.
Congratulations to our good friend Carlton Cuse. And to people like me who love Bates Motel, A&E has just announced they have renewed a second season of Bates Motel.
Oh, it's so good and creepy.
Boy, do I love that show. I haven't seen last night yet. I got it DVR'd.
Me too.
But I can't wait to see how Norman gets away from Officer Rapey.
Oh, boy.
No good can come. Very good name for an officer. No good can come from what's going on in that house, I'll tell you that much. Yeah, so good news for fans of Bates Motel and good news for fans of Judge Judy. Her show has just been renewed through 2017.
That's baloney.
It's not baloney.
It doesn't make sense.
It does make sense.
You are the highest
syndicated show on television.
Not interested, sir.
Wheel of Fortune and Big Bang Theory are the only two syndicated shows that do better than Judge Judy, with an estimated 9 million daily viewers.
Wow.
So you get Zippo, nada.
Judge Judy's currently in its 17th season. This will carry it through to its 21st season, 2017, when this deal
And haven't you told us in the past that she owns the show and just makes, like, ridiculous money off
of it? She is one of the richest women in the entertainment business, period.
That's crazy.
It's nuts money.
Good for you, Judy. I want you to answer my question.
I did. You're on television. You're rich.
And she's really pretty grouchy.
She's miserable. And America loves her.
But they put douchebags in front of her pretty regularly, so.
Yeah. No, you see the people show up in her courtroom, you'd be cranky, too.
He's suing for $24.
Because his ex-girlfriend, who had sex with his father, took his car and wrecked it inside the bar that he once owned with his brother-in-law. And this is something else. Kid Rock and Live Nation have worked hard together to make sure this is possible. And his next tour, all of the tickets for his next tour will be $20.
Total.
Any seat in the venue, $20 to see Kid Rock.
No service charge.
Well, I don't know about the service charge, but...
But even the front $20 row is 20
ticket.
Bucks.
Any venue, any seat in the venue where Kid Rock plays this summer will be $20 for a ticket.
Wow.
The t-shirts are no more than $20. Beers are just $4 each.
Wow.
He wants to make sure that his fans can see him for a reasonable amount of money. I find it hard to believe that people will pay $20 to see Kid Rock, but we'll have to wait and see. He's got a lot of cool opening acts as well for this tour. ZZ Top is opening 16 of the shows. Kool and the Gang is on board.
Wait, hold on a second. Hold on a second. I'm offended. ZZ Top is opening for Kid Rock?
Yep.
Wrong.
Kool and the Gang is opening for 10 of those shows. And Uncle Cracker, of course, will be performing each and every show. So you get a lot of music for your $20 if you go see Kid Rock.
That sounds like
the only
a bad
downside
show.
Is towards the end, Kid Rock comes out on stage. It's the only drawback.
I loved it. His what was his rap album? His first rap album, B.
The Bow Wow Wow. That
yeah,
one.
That album. Yeah.
Bow, bow, I love Rebel Without a Cause. I think it was called. Or
something. Love that album. And then everything since has been country music.
Yeah. Or he would just take other people's songs and sing on top of them, which is interesting. I want to give you a heads up if you're in Long Beach, LBC. We're coming down to see you. Kevin Smith and I are doing our Hollywood Babylon show at the Laugh Factory in Long Beach. We were there a couple months ago, and we had a blast. So we're coming back this Saturday night. You can go to the Laugh Factory website or csmod.com if you want to check us out. But we'd love to see you there. Kevin Smith and I doing Hollywood Babylon, where we make fun of people.
The hour's coming.
And the hour is coming, too, by the way. Don't forget that. Today's celebrity birthdays, Hugh Hefner. Legendary Playboy magazine founder, 87 years old today. Actor Dennis Quaid is 59. You watching that Vegas with Dennis
Not
Quaid?
Watching that. Don't have time.
Yeah, I know. It's hard. I've seen a couple episodes, and I really enjoyed it.
A lot of soccer to watch.
My DVR is just screaming at me. Just no more, please. No more. How will you watch a following? That's what my DVR keeps screaming at me.
It's great.
I know. But I haven't seen but one of them, and I've got nine of them, I think, on the DVR.
You got to follow that one.
I'm trying. God damn it. Jenna Jameson's 39 years old today. Gerard Way of My Chemical Romance, now defunct, 36 years old. Albert Hammond Jr. of The Strokes is 33. Leighton Meester is 27 years old. Kristen Stewart turns 23. And actress Elle Fanning, 15 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Got another 3-day pass for you for Coachella for weekend number one coming up this Friday, by the way, is when it begins, plus access to the K-Rock Coachella House. You can win that in 1 hour from right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. And speaking of Coachella, Kevin, tell us about this video we just put up at K-Rock.com.
It's funny. I made this video for Coachella of basically just good times out there and people running around and dancing and some of the different acts that have been up there, some live footage, just kind of a recap to get you excited about going. And I put it up and I put it out on Twitter, and then people started yelling at me because I didn't include myself wiping out on a motorcycle.
Oh,
which
I
happened
love that.
On that like Thursday before Coachella 1 year, two or 3 years ago. And I heard from two or three people that I said I couldn't find it. And the guy's like, here it is. Here's the link.
So love our listeners.
So I re-edited it with my motorcycle wreck involved and put it back up. And now it's at krock.com or kevinandb.com. You can click on the video. It's kind of a cool recap to get you excited.
Excellent.
I love how that's so many people's favorite memory of Coachella when they weren't even there, just because they love the video of you wiping out so much.
Yeah, that was great.
And I'll say one more thing about the video, because I had forgotten how unbelievably awesome it was when the Tupac hologram
yes,
came out.
That was so crazy.
When you see that happen in the video, you're going, oh my God, that really did happen. And that was so cool. Remember how that just blew our minds last year?
It was sort of creepy at first. I remember. I just remember thinking, wow, this is so weird. That guy's dead.
Especially, and dead for a long time. Especially when he comes out and says, how you doing Coachella?
Right.
And then your mind is like, what? So anyway, you can see all of that in the video that Kevin put together at Carrick.com. It's very cool. You should check it out. All right, changing topics now. Let's talk about citizen's arrest. Here was the news story that got us thinking about it.
Former porn star Jenna Jameson arrested on suspicion of battery. This is her second arrest in less than a year. Police say Jameson was doing some early celebrating for her 39th birthday over the weekend when she attacked someone at a private home in Orange County, California. The alleged victim then made, I guess, a citizen's arrest holding Jameson.
Story.
This is getting stranger. Jameson given a court date and then released. Last May, she was arrested for DUI.
So she apparently assaulted somebody who then sat on her and called the police.
Yes.
Well, maybe. I guess if victim, you can sit on someone, and
said,
you can do it.
And I don't know if you have to say magic words or something, like, you are under arrest or whatever, but a citizen's arrest is something that always has fascinated us, because how does that ever come to your mind? I'm going to arrest someone.
Yeah. I mean, and we want to take calls on this. If you've ever been part of a citizen's arrest, please call us at 1-800-520-1067.
The arrestor or the arrestee.
Yeah, arrestor or arrestee, or just if you've been close to it and you've seen it, tell us what happened and how it unfolded. And we also want to hear from you if you're a police officer and can describe for us what the rules are for citizen's arrest, if there are any. Like Kevin says, do you have to say something? Because at some point, this is what's weird to me. If you say I'm putting you under citizen's arrest, it's clear what it is you're doing and why. Otherwise, aren't you just holding somebody hostage? Aren't you just kidnapping someone if you're grabbing onto them and not letting them leave?
And that's the only way to make a citizen's arrest, right?
Yeah, is you have to be able to.
You have to hold them until the police get there.
Yeah, that's all.
Unless
point.
You're like Lisa, and obviously you travel with handcuffs or something like that, and you got another recourse. But I mean, I know you say you would never think of it, Kevin. But let's say you were in the situation that this person who did the citizen's arrest was. Let's say you got, you know, somebody beat you down for no, just for the sake of argument.
Please,
let's say for, it wasn't your fault.
Right,
somebody comes up, just starts hitting you in the face. Okay. What are your options at that point? You kind of want the person to be held accountable for it. You don't just want to get up and run away and leave. If you have the opportunity to hold them down until somebody comes and arrests them, why wouldn't you do that?
Because I just don't think it would come to my mind. I just think if you get hit, you're either going to fight or hide. Where does the "I'm going to arrest you" come in? Because you got hit by this person, so they attacked you.
Right.
Right.
So at what point do you go, all right, I'm going to now reverse this and hold you down?
I think the point
unless
at which
she's a 99-pound woman and, you know, she was attacking somebody bigger than her.
I mean, go ahead, Bing.
I think the point where it comes to you is when you want that person to be arrested for it. Because they're not just going to wait around for the police. I think it's up to you to hold them down so that there's a chance of them suffering consequences from attacking you.
If that ever if I'm ever in a position where somebody attacks me, I will be drunk. And so I won't be able to do a citizen's arrest.
Well,
do you have to read them their rights?
No.
Great question. We will ask a police officer when we get them on the line. All right. 1-800-520-1067. You were
near a
citizen.
Do they get to make a call? Do they have to make a call within the first minute or two?
I don't know. These are all great questions because, you know, you're right. Because, like, with the thing about reading the rights, I mean, that's something that a police officer has to do. But it doesn't seem like in a citizen's arrest, that's not on you. That's not your responsibility.
I don't think so either.
So we want to hear about it. 1-800-520-1067. You're the arrestor or the arrestee or you're a police officer who can tell us a little bit more about how it works. Let's start with Doug just real quick before the break. Doug is on line 4. Apparently, Doug did conduct a citizen's arrest.
All right. Hey, Doug.
Hey, good morning, Kevin Bean, Lisa May.
Hi, Doug.
What'd you do?
I am a hero. I'm a citizen's arrester. I saw a guy getting drunk. He was drunk driving, swerving all over the 10 freeway, followed him off the freeway. He pulls into a gas station. I pinned my car up behind him. And you know what? Right when I pinned my car up behind him, about 2 minutes later, cops come, arrest him, DUI. I save lives.
Now, was he able the way you
Doug's
his
level
car?
Of satisfaction is fantastic.
He's a hero, Kevin. Don't besmirch Doug.
God, this was like a year ago. I'm still pumped up about it.
You should be. But let me ask you this question. So you pinned his car so he couldn't drive away. Was he still able? Could he get out of the car? Could he open his door and get out and yell at you or anything?
I mean, he could have if he was, you know, a functional, sober human being. But this guy was smashed.
Oh, so basically you did all you had to do just by parking your car there.
Oh, guys, you know what? I didn't even have to step out of my car. I was just sitting back, saving lives from the driver's seat.
You're a hero, man.
You're the best person ever, man. Where's your Nobel Peace Prize?
Well, you know what? I've got a couple. I'm looking for a couple more.
Exactly.
He says he has a couple and he needs a couple more.
Okay.
Thank you for the call,
just
Doug. Susan, you please hang on. We're going to get to you first right after the break. She is an attorney. She wants to clarify how citizen's arrest works. And we want to hear your stories, too. Give us a call here on the Kevin Beach Show. We'll be right back. Actress Jenna Jameson arrested in a citizen's arrest a couple of nights ago. Kind of got us talking about the topic here on the Kevin Beach Show. It comes up from time to time in the news. But I don't really know anyone who's ever been part of a citizen's arrest. And I'm not even sure how citizen's arrests work. I'm not even sure what makes them legal. So we wanted to find out more about it. We're taking your calls on the topic at 1-800-520-1067. And we have Susan, who is an attorney. She is on line 7, and apparently she is going to clue us in. Hi, Susan. Thanks a lot for calling and holding on.
Hi, guys.
Hi there.
I feel like I'm going to ruin everybody's fun because it's not at all what it sounds like.
Oh, well, don't ruin it then.
I know, I'm the worst. In most circumstances, the police can't, like, arrest you and take you into custody for a misdemeanor unless they saw it. So if they show up and somebody's like, this person punched me in the face, then the person that got punched in the face essentially has to execute a private person's arrest. That's basically what happens.
A private person's arrest.
Yeah, it's a citizen's arrest. It's the same thing.
Okay, but I'm not sure I understand. So like in the Jenna Jameson case, for instance, the guy thinks that she's, you know, guilty of assault on him, so he holds her back, they call the police show up, and they won't take her away because it's really just he said, she said?
Well, they basically have to have him, like, execute a document that says, I placed this person under arrest for, you know, the crime I saw them commit.
Do they bring the form with them, or do I have to carry it with me everywhere I go?
We all have to pick them up at the DMV. It's a private. No, I'm just
what?
Kidding.
Oh.
bad joke.
So what happens after that then? What happens if you say, yes, I'm putting this person under a citizen's arrest? Then does it continue through the court's process, even though the police are not really charging you?
Yeah, I mean, ultimately the police will then, you know, take it from there. But technically speaking, the person was arrested by the citizen.
And not the police. Wow, that's
right.
Weird.
Yeah,
interesting. Do you see this, real quick before you go, Susan, do you see this very often? Like, do you have a lot of clients who are involved in citizen's arrest on one side or the other?
Yeah. I actually had a client once who saw an open garage and was like, sweet, a free bike, and walked into the garage, and the homeowner saw it, came out, and as the client was riding away on the bike, the guy clotheslined him, and the police came, and that was his private person's arrest.
Sweet.
Wow. Great stuff.
I need to clothesline someone.
All right. Susan, thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it. Wow, we got so many good calls here and not much time. Let's go to Scott. Scott arrested somebody in a supermarket. He's on line 4. Let's find out how that turned out for them. Hi, Scott. Thanks for calling.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Hi there.
You arrested who, where?
You want to hear about the process or about the arrested about 300 people, I guess.
What?
Okay, wait a second here.
Some kind of vigilante?
You've arrested 300 people and you're not in law enforcement. You're just a citizen with way too much time on his hands.
No, I was just a shoplift agent for 3 years for a grocery store chain.
Oh, I see.
The only power to stop people from stealing is a citizen's arrest.
Oh, so if you're
all
at the
paperwork in the briefcase, we bring them into the office. If it was, a felony, they'd get turned over to the police. If not, we'd release them.
There's no cameras in there, so you can rough them up if you need to, right?
Sure.
Get some answers.
Sure.
There were cameras in some of them.
Well, that makes a lot more sense because at least you were working in a security capacity, and I can understand if somebody's stealing, you know, in a store or something like that, that you would arrest them. That makes sense. All right. Thank you very much for the call. Appreciate that. That's a little different than just a guy on the street like this story that we're talking about.
Yeah.
All right. We only have time for a couple more, Kevin. Who do you like?
Well, I want to get to Chad. So, Chad, you hold on. I don't know. We have too many good ones.
We do. All right, let's do one more of real arrest in the field. Let's go to Hunter. Hunter is on line 1. He can tell us how his came down. Then we'll talk to a police officer, find out what he thinks about it. Hi, Hunter. Thanks for calling.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
You made a citizen's arrest?
Yeah. I was at a party in college, and a guy was stealing a laptop from the party. And he started to run down the stairs at the front of the party, and I saw him going, so I took it upon myself to grab him by the collar of the shirt as he was running down the stairs and pretty much just horse collared him, and then got over top of him and told him if he went anywhere that he was under my jurisdiction and he was under citizen's arrest.
See, now again, I would take the laptop back, kick his ass maybe, but who's like, you're, I would not say you're under my jurisdiction.
Yeah, you're not Steven Seagal, the bounty hunter.
That's a weird thing.
So what happened when the police showed up?
Well, basically it was in Isla Vista and Santa Barbara. So there's cops everywhere, on every street corner, basically. So
right.
I was standing over him and he tried to get up to leave. And I told him if he tried again, I was going to slap him. So, you know, he was pretty drunk and eventually he tried again and sure enough, I gave him the slap of a lifetime across the face, and I've never really slapped anybody like that before. It was pretty empowering. I think the citizen's arrest kind of went to my head.
Yeah,
I bet.
I don't think striking them is going to help your case.
Yeah,
I'm glad
really
you
wasn't.
Called, Hunter, but in future tellings of that story, replace the word slap with the word punch, and you'll even sound better, okay?
All right, I appreciate that.
All right, thank you for the call. Let's go to, who do we want? We want to Chad. Chad is a police officer on line 5. He's going to tell us what he makes of this citizen's arrest. Do we need to get out there and start citizen arresting people? Chad, what's up?
Absolutely. It's the greatest thing ever for us.
Really? So police officers like it?
Oh, yeah. We don't have to do any paperwork or anything. They sign everything. They go to court. And when we book the people, we get credit for it at the station.
So you get credit for the arrest, but you have none of the paperwork of a normal arrest. Right? Hello?
Oh.
He just got citizens arrested, apparently. We lost Chad, I guess. Wow, that was weird. I'm surprised. I still don't understand how this works without having a police officer in the mix at all. It seems like you need somebody, like an impartial person to kind of make the distinction of whether this is arrest-worthy or not, rather than just, am claiming it.
I'm just going to start arresting people.
See what
I think
happens.
That's a good
Let
policy. And you know when? Coachella. That's when. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:39. I still prefer Beer Mug's version of that song.
Me too.
Sure. Speaking of Beer Mug, by the way, a few listeners have suggested that we're missing an opportunity to test out the citizen's arrest by arresting Beer Mug and just holding him for crimes against humanity, and I think that's an excellent idea, too.
Not bad.
All right, we're going to talk about something that is way, we're way out of the I can't even begin to describe this, but we really have so little information about this topic that we're going to sound dumb. But that's okay, because I suspect that most people don't know what's going on with Bitcoins, but apparently they have been around since 2009, and apparently they are, the short version of the story is, it's internet currency. It is money that is not tied to any country and is not tied to any bank. And this guy invented it back in 2009, if I understand correctly, Kevin. And the reason he invented it is because there's no simple way to sell things around the world. In other words, if you want to buy something from a guy in Japan, there's no simple way to do that
right.
without using credit cards. So that's why Bitcoin was invented. And it's been very controversial. Some lawmakers have come out and said that it ought to be illegal because it's being, you know, it's hard to trace.
Being used by drug dealers, right?
Yeah. Drug dealers using it. But it's getting to the point now. It's hardly at a tipping point. It's not something that is anywhere near replacing currency in most countries. But it's getting to the point now where hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of businesses are now allowing you to pay via Bitcoin. And one of those businesses is called Pizza for Coins. PizzaForCoins.com is the website, and we thought, here's a guy who must know a lot more about Bitcoin than we do, and maybe he can explain it in layman's terms. So we asked Riley Alexander to join us on the Kevin and Bean Show, and he's on the phone now. Hi, Riley.
Hey, how are you doing?
Well, we're doing great. I apologize for how lame the introduction was, but Bitcoins, I'm just not smart enough to understand world currency markets and why this is either a good thing or a bad thing, so we figured we'd have you on to kind of explain it to us.
Yeah, no problem. It's a difficult topic to fully grasp. I know most people, when they first hear about it, it takes them a few days to digest it.
Oh, good.
But,
that's good for me.
Fortunately, Kevin is a very patient person and eager to learn.
Two months for days, and you got it.
Yeah. So I guess my primary question is, if we're talking about this currency that's transferred on the internet, is it has to be based on something. Do you buy in, like, do you buy Bitcoin currencies with actual real currency?
Well, basically, it's right now you can exchange it just like you can exchange it for any other currency. You can buy them with U.S. dollars. You can buy them with Canadian. Wherever you are in the world, you can exchange your money for Bitcoins.
Okay.
And the Bitcoins, you know, there's a fixed limit of what they'll ever be. There will never be more than 21 million.
Why?
And the reason is they set a limit on it to basically make it so it couldn't ever indefinitely be printed.
Why?
To help keeping it from being deflated. Like now with a lot of the, a lot of the things going on with bailouts and stuff, government's been printing money to handle that, basically, to cover those expenses and be able to loan banks money to keep operating.
Right.
Why?
Right. Regular currency is at the whim of world events. And one of the articles that I read on Bitcoins yesterday, I think it was Warren Buffett who said, look, a dollar today, a dollar in the 1965, that same amount of goods and services would cost you $7 today because of inflation. And you're saying that a dollar in Bitcoin currency is going to be worth a dollar forever. Right?
Well, it's actually been the opposite, really, because since it's limited in number, and more people have been being interested in it,
it'll go up.
It's been going up because it's a supply and demand. There's just simply not enough to go around to everybody.
Who takes it? Like your pizza for coins. You run a pizza chain?
What we do is we're simply people who have Bitcoins come to our website. Just like they'd go to Papa John's or Domino's or whatever.
Oh, so you don't actually make the pizza?
No, we don't make the pizza.
Okay.
And what they do is they put in an order that they would like a pizza, and they put in their address where they are, and we have a script on our website that then gives us all the information and orders the pizza for them.
But why put a middleman in that transaction? Why not just call Pizza Hut and have them deliver?
The reason for that is because there's a lot of people with Bitcoins who want something to spend them on. So
But wait. So are they, is this the direction we're going? Like, is this going to replace money or is it just a novelty?
I mean, at this point, it's been gaining a lot of traction because it's the whole idea of that it can't be, you can't inflate it by just printing more.
Right. Mm-hmm.
People really like that. It's almost like a gold type of commodity where it's difficult to come by.
But I see myself at a Ralph's grocery store yelling, "This is a Bitcoin! It's supposed to be worth money!"
There's no such thing as a physical Bitcoin. It only exists as a transaction on a number on a screen on the internet, right?
Yes, that's correct. There's not a physical Bitcoin. It's basically just a digital... Yeah, just a digital transaction that gets recorded. And the way it gets recorded, which is kind of a genius way, is every single person who has the Bitcoin client installed has a ledger that records every transaction in the world. So basically it makes it so when you get a coin, that coin shows as going from this person, from this address. That's another thing. The names, there's no names tied to it. So it shows that it's going from this address to this address, so that way you know the coins haven't been double spent or counterfeited or anything. So basically by doing that, it's even in a way better than any other fiat currency that's around because it can't be counterfeited easily. I mean,
Would we still be cool if I didn't play?
Yeah, you would be.
Because it sounds like this is going to go nowhere.
Confusing. This is the voice of Riley Alexander here on the Kevin DeBean Show. His company is pizzaforcoins.com, and we're talking about the Bitcoin currency. We only have a couple of minutes here left, Riley, but let me ask you this. What's the position of our government and other governments around the world about somebody essentially trying to create an alternate currency? Is it legal?
Well, up until a few months ago, it was questionable. Nobody really knew. They hadn't really talked about it. It was just nobody mentioned anything about it.
Good.
But a few months back, which is the reason the currency has exploded in interest, they released a guidance regarding how to handle and how to regulate transactions that are occurring in virtual currencies. They didn't name Bitcoin specifically, but they made it a blanket statement. So any virtual currencies that ever come along that have this characteristic, they said how to do it, which was a huge jump for Bitcoin because
they didn't come out and say you can't do it, it's wrong.
Yeah. They basically gave away, like, hey, if you're going to do it, you got to claim amounts over $10,000 and, simple standard bank procedures.
Right. So, well, it's too early to tell whether this is just going to be a Trivial Pursuit question in 10 years or if this is going to be the way that we're buying most things. But it is kind of exciting to see something that is, at least is trying something different. I mean, I can see what some of the advantages are for it. I also see that there are some disadvantages. But who knows? Maybe they work this thing out and we're at the beginning of something big, right?
Yeah, no, that's true. It's just got a lot of really cool features.
How many Bitcoins does it take to order a pizza?
Right now, I believe it's about 0.12.
All right, I'm out.
But
Kevin, there's no other way to buy pizza right now. This is the only way you can get a pizza now.
I'm out.
Riley Alexander, pizzaforcoins.com. I'm sorry, I'm going to have to leave it there for today. But thank you so much for coming on and at least attempting to school the dumb guys. We appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you very much for having me.
You're welcome.
Our latest edition of Why Does Kevin Hate, which is my favorite segment here on the Kevin DeBean Show. Why does Kevin hate college kids celebrating winning a national basketball championship?
All contrary, my friend. I love that.
No, you don't.
Uh-huh. You hate it.
You hate it.
He hates the tradition of one shining moment. We'll find out why. Coming up after the 9 o'clock hour. Right now, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
This Farrah Abraham thing is a revelation to me. It's given me a brand new person to hate.
Is that right?
And I can always use that because sometimes I get tired hating the old guard.
Sure.
You can only hate Chelsea Handler for so long until even you start getting bored with your own hatred.
But now, why is she hateable?
Teen Mom thing. Why didn't anybody tell me this was going on?
I would like to
for a while.
I want you to be careful here. You're hating a chick who made a porn tape and is shopping it around. That seems like somebody you would admire.
No. She's garbage. I mean, I love porn people. I love porn and I love the porn stars. But she's just a piece of garbage.
She's garbage, okay.
First of all, she came to notoriety on a show on MTV called 16 and Pregnant.
Right.
And then to reward unwed teenagers getting pregnant, MTV gave her a spinoff show
right.
called Teen Mom,
which showed her being more of a piece of garbage.
Oh, it's just about her?
Maybe some of the other cast members from 16 and Pregnant as well. But huge ratings, tons of teenage girls watching, envying the lives of these unwed mothers.
And don't we remember, Ralph,
unwed mothers,
that there were stories about kids who were intentionally trying to get pregnant because they wanted to be on Teen Mom?
Yes!
Yep.
We heard that story about high school girls who said, I want to be on MTV, I'm going to get pregnant.
How else are you going to get in show business, Bean, unless you have a child?
Excellent point.
At 16. So she's horrible.
Okay.
And her mother, like, beat her up, so she had to move out of her mother's place.
Oh,
and,
man.
And then she got a DUI, and she tried to bite the cops that arrested her. And she got plastic surgery, and she was caught in this lesbian lingerie romp, boozing it up, while who knows was watching her child at home.
Is she, like, 45?
She's 20. She's now 20.
How has she
done
all that?
For the past 4 years, she's just made her life a train wreck that I somehow have been able to completely ignore. But I'm on. Now I'm back.
Right.
I'm going to catch up. I spent all morning catching up on Farrah Abraham. And the reason the story broke is because there was a reported sex tape being shopped around, which she vehemently denied. And then it turned out that it wasn't like a personal sex tape shot in her bedroom. It was a professional porn movie that she made with male porn star James Dean. They just shot it this weekend. Now they're shopping that around. Her mother has come forward and said there's no way she would ever do that. Not my daughter. Said mother who punched her.
Oh, man.
So apparently mom doesn't know what's going on with this broad either. But I didn't know. What I didn't know is that Farrah Abraham wrote her autobiography last year.
At 19 years old?
Yes. In August 2012, she released an autobiography called My Teenage Dream Ended. But at least she released a musical album as an accompanying piece.
No, she didn't.
She's done it all.
To the autobiography, no. She released an album where each one of the track listing, the names on the track listing, it corresponds with a chapter in her book.
Nope.
So not only is she horrible, but she also produces horrible music. And for your entertainment, I'd like to bring you a track off the My Teenage Dream Ended album by Farrah Abraham that came out last year.
Wait a minute, am I the only one that can't understand any of it? This is great.
Yeah. Steady traffic on the highway. My eyes are up.
Best song ever.
She's crazier than Bjork.
Yeah, that's
a
thing. That's a thing.
That exists.
How did we not know about Farrah Abraham before?
Wow.
I'm going to start calling this the Farrah Abraham Report. That's all you're going to get every hour is just updates on her life. I am now so deeply in love with Farrah Abraham and all the horribleness that she represents.
She's fantastic.
Great crap.
She's magical.
Well, you got to go out and get the book today immediately after work.
Yes. And then
read about her life.
Read about her life and just start worshiping at the altar of Farrah. Wow. Madness. Meanwhile, Chris Brown and Rihanna have broken up.
Good.
He was just on the Today Show last week talking about how they were together.
Yeah, but now they broke up.
Good.
But next week they'll be back together again. Apparently, the New York Post says Chris Brown has been seen with a waitress that he met at a club last weekend. That's his new girlfriend. And apparently, Rihanna has met somebody else. She was with a mystery dude last Friday night at the Clippers-Lakers game. So they both moved on this week. And then next week, they'll be back together again. So that'll happen. Great news for fans of Bates Motel like myself. It's been renewed for a second season. Only 4 episodes in, and they've already renewed it for another season of 10 episodes for next year.
I don't know how it's doing in the ratings, but boy, is it good.
It is the most watched original drama in A&E history.
Wow.
I was really surprised with Carlton Cuse's history, you know, with shows like Lost, that he didn't end up on ABC or one of the major networks with a show this good.
I heard they tried and nobody was interested.
That's shocking to me.
I'm glad NBC turned it down, if they did. They don't need any help over there. They've got Celebrity Apprentice. They don't need anybody.
They do have it.
Oh, by the way, Celebrity Apprentice reached an all-time low in its ratings on Sunday
night. Excellent. So.
How's Donald Trump going to spin that?
Today, I'm very proud of myself.
He's very proud of himself. because he wanted the ratings to be low because he wants that show to become just for a niche audience.
I see.
He doesn't want to appeal to just
anyone. He's sloughing off the undesirables that were watching it before.
That was his goal.
Just high quality. Yeah. And this, if you're a movie fan like myself, is a dream come true. They are doing a special event at the Arclight Cinemas starting in April. Wednesday, April the 24th. It's called Target Presents AFI Night at the Movies. AFI, of course, the American Film Institute, which has long been considered one of the preeminent critical organizations. Not only that, but they teach people how to produce films, and they also are great at archiving the history of motion pictures.
They played at our Weenie Roast.
No,
they
it's a different AFI. They do this great lineup where they have classic films brought to you by people connected with those films. For example, this is what's happening at the AFI Night at the Movies program starting in April. Kathy Bates will present Misery.
Oh, wow.
To see that film presented by her, which is one of the great films of all time, by the way. Cher will present Moonstruck. Sally Field with Norma Rae. Peter Fonda will present Easy Rider, another classic. Harrison Ford will bring you Blade Runner. Shirley MacLaine, Terms of Endearment. Samuel L. Jackson, Pulp Fiction.
There you go.
Demi Moore, Ghost. Mike Myers, Shrek. Kurt Russell, The Thing, Kevin Spacey, The Usual Suspects, and Sidney Poitier in The Heat of the Night.
That's cool.
So they get up in front of the audience, they talk about the film, and then you get to watch it as they're presented by the stars of the movie. It's pretty remarkable.
Will Glenda be there?
Glenda will not be able to make it this year.
Is Farrah Abraham going to be showing her porn movie? Is
that
going to be
part of the AFI series? Should add it up because that's a classic. I haven't even seen it, and it's a classic. You can go to ArclightCinemas.com for more details and get your tickets. But this, like the Paley Fest that we talk about, sells out almost immediately, so you want to get on top of it if you're interested. Today's celebrity birthday is Hugh Hefner, founder of Playboy Magazine, is 87 years old today. Dennis Quaid is 59. Cynthia Nixon from Sex and the City, 47 years old today. Jenna Jameson, our victim of our citizen's arrest.
Yep.
She's 39 years old. Gerard Way, formerly of My Chemical Romance, is 36. Albert Hammond Jr. of The Strokes is 33. Leighton Meester's 27. Kristen Stewart's 23. And Elle Fanning celebrates her 15th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Now that's a song.
What are you saying? Play that instead?
Madness by Muse is a song. It's a world famous K-Rock. It's 9 minutes after 9 o'clock.
It's funny you should say that because that was the theme song for the March Madness coverage on CBS. So you heard that song a bunch. But when the game was over last night, the men's college basketball championship last night in Louisville, as they pronounce it, Louisville was the champion. That's not the song they played. They played Luther instead.
Yeah, they played One Shining Moment by Luther Vandross.
Mm-hmm.
I can't be the only one that hates this.
You are the only one who hates it.
He's not.
Look, who else hates it? Who else have you ever heard who says that tradition that has been going on for decades that people love is sucky?
All right, let me get this out of the way first.
Why does Kevin hate old people? Why does Kevin hate baseball? Why does Kevin hate? Why does he hate the Beatles, Al Roker, and wine drinkers? Why does Kevin hate anything made before 1985? That is so dumb. What will Kevin hate today?
All right, now listen, I want to clarify because you said, why do you hate the tradition? I don't hate the tradition. I love the tradition.
Mm-hmm.
I love sports montages. I make them on my own time for my own enjoyment.
Okay.
I love
okay.
it.
Okay.
Love it. Couldn't
but
love
this,
it more.
But this tradition
music
is...
Music is really important in those, though.
Right, but this tradition is you get to play One Shining Moment and CBS does a montage of moments from the tournament. And that's part of the fun of winning is being in that, being a part of that tradition. Kevin, what you're suggesting is green jackets are ugly. So when you win the Masters now, you get a plaid jacket instead because the green jacket was tacky.
I don't care about that either.
But what I'm saying is it's a tradition. The little golfers that are growing up watching other people win the Masters want to get that hideous green jacket because that's what you get when you win the Masters.
See, just like tradition to not allow women on golf courses too. So what?
That's
tradition does not make it good.
One for Kevin.
Thank you, Lisa.
I don't even get the connection. I'm talking about little kids who are playing basketball that one day dream of growing up and being on a team that wins an NCAA tournament.
And I hope they do that, and I hope they're put in a video montage that celebrates them that's not a soft rock Lionel Richie effing song.
First of all, it's Luther Vandross. But
second
of all, second of all, this is the song that they've grown up watching as the montage song. Why change it?
How terrible is this song?
Let's hear a little bit of it from last night's broadcast.
We culminate our celebration of 75 years of
they tease it all night.
NCAA March Madness with the 2013 edition of One Shining Moment.
All right, now let me just stop it right there. This is a cheesy-ass love ballad done by effing Air Supply or somebody.
It's Luther Vandross.
Weak sound keyboards and stuff. It's just, what a crappy song.
Is your problem just
replace the song with a good song?
Is your problem the song, or is the problem that Denny does it? Would you be happy with One Shining Moment if Goat Whore recorded their version?
No, because theirs wouldn't sound like that, and the lyrics are so stupid. I got the lyrics here. The ball is tipped, and there you are. That's the first two lines. F you.
Seems appropriate for a basketball tournament.
You're a shooting star. Come on.
Yeah.
Long intro, always good. And then, by the way, they were showing cheerleaders the entire time.
And there you are. You're running for your life. You're a shooting star.
It's not just... It's just, it's such a horrible song that everybody has come to accept.
It is crazy cheesy.
It's really cheesy and really, really poorly produced. It sounds like 1986.
I'm not saying it's a great song.
I'm not saying it's a horrible song.
I'm not saying it's on my iPod. It's not something that I want to listen to, but I'm telling you that it is appropriate for that moment when somebody has just won the college basketball championship, as teams have been doing for decades. That's what they want.
No, they want to win the championship is what they want to do, Bean. They don't want to be in One Shining Moment. They want to be in whatever song they choose to make a montage out of. And the music is super important. And this is a cheesy 1986 song. And the very next year, they should have gone, that sucked. Let's pick a better song.
CBS tried to change it up a couple of years ago. They still did One Shining Moment, but they replaced the cheesy-ass Luther Vandross version that you call it. And they replaced it with Jennifer Hudson, who's a great contemporary singer.
Yeah, you know what's wrong? The song. People, it sucks ass.
People inundated the network with, don't change that song. Don't let anyone else sing that song but Luther Vandross. That's the version we like. That's the version we know. Put it back on.
But
and that's what they've been doing
short,
since then.
Time is short and the road is long. In the blinking of an eye, that moment's gone.
Look, it's tradition. Just like there are Christmas songs that get played on the...
Tradition is not a reason to keep doing something unless it's a good tradition.
It's the reason we do lots of things that are... Look, you go home for Thanksgiving for tradition's sake, even if you don't want to go, because it's tradition. That's what you do.
This is the Thanksgiving that you don't want to go to. That's
we play
song.
Crappy songs on the radio at Christmas time because they're standards, because they're Christmas standards, and it means Christmas, and that's what
but
people
associate
with it.
Christmas is not this lame. This is a lame, soft rock love song that should have been laughed off of CBS 25 years ago.
You're on your own on this one, buddy. I'm sorry.
I switched over.
You are the lone voice in the wilderness on this one.
That is true most of the time. But let me just finish by saying I did switch over to True TV, which is what CBS's coverage, where it continued. They did the press conference and stuff like that. And I got into the last half of a montage with Muse singing Madness.
Oh, that's cool.
And it was great.
Way happier with that, were you?
Yes, and there were highlights, and there was coaches, and there were people crying and hitting three-pointers, and it was amazingly good.
So you're happy Luther Vandross is dead. That's the point?
Yes, and I wish the song would have gone with him.
By the way, if you like that band M83, they got the job to do the soundtrack for that Oblivion movie, that Tom Cruise movie that's coming out. So that's
interesting.
They're getting into the scoring world as well. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Tuesday. Ralph joins us for our final look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Speaking of movies, really quickly, yesterday I did a special sneak preview event for a movie called Elysium.
Oh, that's right.
This is from the writer-director of District 9,
right?
Neil Blomkamp. And his star of that film, Sharto Copley, who starred in District 9, is the guy who turns into the
prawn.
So
good. Yeah.
Yes.
Brilliant.
He's awesome.
Yeah. They have their sophomore effort coming out this summer called Elysium, starring Matt Damon in the lead, and also Jodie Foster is also in the film. So yesterday we did a special sneak peek event where we showed some footage from the movie that no one has seen, that showed the trailer for the first time, and we interviewed Sharto
and the producer Simon Kinberg and writer-director and Matt Damon via satellite from Berlin.
No kidding.
So we did it at this packed house at the Arclight there in Hollywood, and we talked to Matt via Berlin. So it was a fun event because we got to speak with them, but more importantly, we got to see footage of this movie. Oh, my Lord.
Really?
Wait until you see this. It's just remarkable. This guy's kind of a genius. This
sci-fi, Neil Blomkamp, right?
Sci-fi, yeah. The base premise is Earth has become unlivable, and so all the rich people move just off of Earth to a space station in orbit around Earth called Elysium.
Love it.
And there's no war, no poverty, no crime, no disease. They found a way to eradicate all disease.
Or is there?
And they live in this perfect world.
Or do they?
They do. Oh. And the rest of us just slave away here on Earth.
Or do we?
We do. Just providing the...
Confusing
the,
me.
The, you know, the raw materials and all the production, and we do all the work that it takes to keep that other place going. So it's the haves and the have-nots literally separated. The rest of us are on this crappy planet, and they're in this magical place.
Sweet.
And Matt plays a guy who decides he's going to go there.
He's had it with being here.
He's had enough, and he's got problems, and he knows that they can be fixed up there, so he's taking matters into his own hands. And just very excited
to see
the footage yesterday, so I just wanted to share that. It comes out in August.
Where does Farrah Abraham live? Is she on the haves or the have-not planet?
She's in the haves, because I soon will be known as Ralph Abraham. Because I plan to divorce my wife.
Is that right?
Marry Farrah Abraham and then take her name.
Because
know that? She's magical. She doesn't know it yet, but she will.
She will.
Because she's the best person in the world.
Does your wife know that?
No, she has no idea.
Okay.
I didn't know it until this morning.
Until just now.
I've done more and more research about teen mom star Farrah Abraham, who I didn't know offered so much for so long that I was lacking in my life. I didn't even realize who she was and what was going on.
Put it in context for us who are equally clueless about Farrah Abraham. Is she better or worse than Courtney Stodden?
Well, much worse. 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 Worse.
Better or worse than the Armenian comedian?
Worse. So much worse.
What?
I don't know anybody who's not worse than.
Rebecca Black.
Oh, much, much worse.
Way worse. Huh.
Here's the thing. She started off being 16 and pregnant on the MTV show of the same name. And
then Drew was the father, right?
And Dr. Drew was the father.
That's not true.
And so they spun her off into Teen Mom, another series on MTV. And she's horrible on every level. She's entitled and obnoxious and disgusting. And then she had all this plastic surgery done, and she spends her money buying new cars while she's trying to sue the grandparents of her child for more money.
Wow.
And she had a DUI, and she shouldn't have got the DUI because she was sick, and she was coughing into the breathalyzer. That's why it had the wrong reading.
What?
And she tried to bite the arresting officers, and she's... been seen in like lesbian lingerie romps and boozing.
All right.
And the reason she's in the news now is because she's done this porn movie with male porn star James Dean, which she denied just days before. They filmed it this weekend. Now they're shopping it around. Her mother's stepped forward and saying it's not true, but it is true. And she had an autobiography last year called My Teenage Dream Ended. And it sounds like it's just beginning.
Autobiography?
Right? Yes.
At 19.
And she released an album, a corresponding album.
Is there nothing she can't do poorly?
Of dubstep music, basically, to go along with the book.
Can I play a little of that?
Wait, before we get to that, I learned more facts about her. Okay. This is the woman, this is the teen mom who we talked about, the story a while back in January, who waxed her 3-year-old's unibrow. Do you remember that story?
I remember that story.
She hated the fact that her 3-year-old child had a unibrow, so she herself waxed her own kid's eyebrows at home.
That's right. She's
scalding,
got everything.
And pulling the hair out of her 3-year-old's head.
Remember how nervous Carolla got when he heard that might be a trend?
Yeah, really. He never would have survived his childhood if that had been the case. So this is this person we're talking about.
Wow.
And then I just discovered her music and I had no idea. We played a track last hour of hers.
I want to play a little of that.
You want to play the first one?
Yeah, a little.
Okay.
Just so people get a taste for what it's like.
This is her corresponding album that came out with her autobiography that she didn't deserve to write. On the way down.
Enjoy the moment while I'm in them. All right, you've heard the whole thing.
Yeah,
that's unbelievable.
But it goes on forever.
It's called on the Bottom, On My Way Up, or On My Way Up from the Bottom, or something else.
But if you're in the studio and that's what ends up on the tape, don't you say to the engineer, hey, something's hinky. I don't know, something's going on. The mic didn't record right, or something's wrong.
We've got a blown tube.
Can you fix that?
So now I'm obsessed with her album. Now I've been going through every track of her album because I can't get enough of it. And I wanted to play another track for you from the album of the same name, My Teenage Dream Has Ended.
I'm swinging a little one's hand. I'm the push behind the swing. I know everything we wanted, what we strive for. I wish you could be with me. My hopes have dropped. My sadness flares. My anger is my power. My heart just stares.
That's a thing.
Not over.
Trying to keep it together. There's so many spaces to fill. And when I'm overwhelmed, overworked, underfed, with not enough money to provide you with.
How is this a thing? For real, how's this a thing?
I only can hope that her porn movie is better than her music.
I love her so much.
I feel as if I was in a porn movie having listening to that song. I feel violated and dirty and raped. My ears
phenomenal.
Have been raped by her
That's
music.
Phenomenal. Wow. Jeez. Wow. It's really hard to find somebody that bad.
She's the perfect storm of bad. She's a horrible human being. She's deeply unattractive on a both physical and spiritual level. She's talentless, and yet somehow she's in the public eye.
And she's been on the cover of countless magazines, too. I mean, she's apparently very popular.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
But she sounds like Bjork and Yoko Ono had a baby on that record, doesn't she?
Yes. And then someone waxed that baby's eyebrows and then put it in the recording studio. I'm like dumbfounded by the horribleness of it all. It just, the more I find out about more, the more I get a sort of a giddy relief that I no longer need to care about the human race, because now I'm freed up. I realize
You've
it's
seen
all
the
over.
Worst that
it's
is
all
it.
Over. Yeah. I know now that it's all over, so I can stop worrying about the future, because we're just circling the drain, because this exists.
It is trying weird. To keep it together. There's so many spaces to fill. And when I'm overwhelmed, overworked, underfed,
what's happening?
It is weird, Ralph. When you woke up this morning, you had no idea that you would leave the show today thinking that Taylor Swift's not that bad.
I want to give Taylor Swift a big kiss on the mouth. Just thank her for everything that she's done for humanity. Everyone else looks good now. I love the rest of the world.
Me?
I love you.
All right.
Beer mug?
I love beer mug.
Wow.
Beer mug has never recorded a song like that. Of all the
this
things
is
that he's
a
done,
change.
He's never done that. As far as I know, he's never waxed a baby's eyebrows.
Or his own.
Or his own, for that matter. Yeah, just wow.
That's
just
a lot of horribleness.
Just wow.
That's what awesome. That made the whole show worthwhile right there.
I got nothing else. It's just...
You don't need anything else, man.
There is nothing else.
It's spectacular. And inexplicably, I got a bunch of emails today from people saying, how come you haven't talked about the passing of famous Mouseketeer Annette Funicello? Which I read this morning and said, you know, I'm just not going to bring that up because that show was popular in 1955.
Yeah.
So maybe we don't really need to talk about Annette Funicello, but people are demanding a tribute
Who's
to Annette Funicello.
Demanding some acknowledgement?
Listeners are writing in saying you didn't talk about Annette Funicello. So, real quickly, she did pass away yesterday at the age of 70 after a long battle with MS.
Oh, my God. Really?
She was, don't get me wrong, it's not out of a lack of success of her part. She was maybe one of the biggest stars on television in the late 50s. I mean, hundreds of thousands of letters of fan mail of every week, and she went on to a very successful movie career.
I loved the movies, by the way.
She invented the beach movies, basically, all those beach blanket bingo movies and all that kind of stuff.
That's enough time for her.
With Frankie Avalon, she invented a genre of film. She was the wholesome, adorable queen that everyone loved, and by all accounts, she was that person in real life as well.
Handled it. Noted. Moving on.
She was very graceful. When she got sick, she didn't feel sorry for herself. She developed a foundation to help battle MS.
Good person.
She dedicated the end of her life to
World
battling that disease. I'm just saying, she seemed like she had a with all the bad we just talked about, it couldn't hurt to give a little bit of a tribute to somebody who seemed to be talented and decent and lived her life in a good way.
Noted.
Why do you hate Annette Funicello, Kevin?
I don't. I just don't think it's our audience, really.
It's not, but she's a good person. So maybe we introduce her to some people who didn't know that she existed before. Yes, Doc and the Rock Bean, yes?
Came in this morning first thing and said, guys, I'm serious. You need to put Rodney Bingenheimer on suicide watch because he was and is obsessed with Annette Funicello to the point where he has apparently a wall in his home dedicated to memorabilia from Annette.
Oh, no.
Like,
really?
That's his girl.
Yeah.
So,
right.
Yeah. So we may need to check in with Rodney in heaven tomorrow and see how he's doing.
So glad you dig me.
All right, Annette Funciello.
Loved her so much, couldn't quite get that name
Never
right.
got her name down.
But. Ooh. Teenage queen.
Yeah, she was a teenage queen. All right.
She Cranky.
Was, she was famous for being an underage sex symbol. She was
Touch
on the,
me, I'm going to scream.
She was on the Mouse Club, the Mickey Mouse Club, and Walt, Uncle Walt Disney, who handpicked all the Mouseketeers, got concerned because she started to develop at a very early age. And teenage and prepubescent boys would rush home to watch the Mickey Mouse Club because you could see Annette Funicello's boobs under her mouse sweater there.
But I'd like to see them play.
It's very exciting. There's a little history lesson for you about Annette Funicello. Oh,
she's like famous.
Yes, she is. She was famous, Rodney.
How about the whores?
No, not applicable to Miss Funciello.
Sweet.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Playboy magazine.
How about some teenagers?
Yeah, well, there were plenty of those. She was in the Mickey Mouse Club. Lots of teenagers. Today, celebrity birthdays. Hugh Hefner, 87 years old today.
Maybe don't we even know Cartoon
Network.
Here
we go.
You know, one
here
of you.
Go.
Just one of you. Whatever one of you was doing it, let that one do it. I don't know which one of you it was, but
we
let that person do it.
We were both doing it, and
no.
We were doing it fine.
We were doing it fine
disaster.
Until that moment.
All right, I quit. You do the rest of them.
Dennis Quaid, 59 years old today. Jenna Jameson's 39.
Oh, no.
Yeah, sure. Gerard Way of My Chemical Romance, 36 years old.
It's not a girl.
Seriously? Let Bean do it, Kevin. I'm not
Pretty
kidding.
Little face.
Albert Hammond Jr. of The Strokes is 33
Tell
years old.
Tell that girl to shut up.
All right.
Black hole.
Leighton Meester's 27.
Yeah, leather is so kinky. And I got new black kids.
All right. Kristen Stewart is 23.
I just want to be free, man.
And
what happened to Amy Winehouse?
She passed away, Rodney. And Elle Fanning is 15 years
That's
old.
That's right. Today. It is time for the original
what?
Rodney on the Rock
Whoa,
show.
No.
And I'm ready to rock.
Oh, no. All right, let's get out of the way. Let's
well, people can get around. At least gasoline is 2 cents cheaper now.
Yeah, thank you, Rodney. Let's wrap up our show and let Rodney take over with the Rodney on the Rock.
He sounds confused.
Oh, my God. Really?
Oh, he's upset about Ned Funciello. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, I just got my new cable bill. They raised the price.
All right.
Good update.
Wow, I got to start listening to that show. I'm missing out on some important information.
Tomorrow morning, man.
He has a show.
Bitch.
He does.
Tomorrow morning, Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage.
Born to be bad.
We also have Sarah Chalk.
Box.
And we've got your 3-day passes for Coachella as well.
We have a winner, believe it or not.
Tomorrow.